from the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Roz and Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
Powered by Air Transat.
I went and saw Aquaman.
Oh, nice. So did I.
In 4DX.
Oh.
Okay. Let me tell you something. That's too many D's.
No.
Okay? I can take...
You can't handle that many D's?
I can take two D's, right? I can sometimes I can take three D's, right?
Yeah.
But I can't take 4D.
Too much.
Like it's too much D.
Yeah.
Right? Like 3D for me is enough of a distraction where I realize what's going on and I do get a little uncomfortable,
sure.
Right? You know me, I'm comfortable with 2D. Yeah. That's all I need. If there was such a thing as 1D, Maury's the only 1D thing in my life.
Right.
Right? But if there was such a thing as enjoying a movie in 1D, I would do that.
Yeah.
Right? But there's not. So 2D I can handle. I can handle 3D.
I'm all 3D.
Right? But 4Ds is
I can't wait.
Too many Ds.
Because it's like from the front and the side.
It's everything. Right?
Like, come on, Maury!
There's too many Ds
so
around you.
We have to explain this, though.
4DX is like you're on a roller coaster, right? There were so many dimensions to this. I'm falling off my chair, right?
Because Cineplex has a theater now where the screen...
It's so crazy.
So not only do you have the screen traditional in front of you, but then there's a screen to your left and to your right.
Oh, I didn't have that.
Oh, you didn't have that one?
No. You're in a chair... And it's roller coaster, so it starts...
Oh, with the seats that are, like, moving and stuff.
Yeah, but then it also sprays water in your face.
Yes, and I watched Star Wars like
and
that.
I'm telling you, it's like Aquaman's in a fight, right? And then the back of your chair starts punching you.
Starts rumbling,
right?
Yeah.
You start getting Ds in the back.
Yeah, it's
right?
Great. I love
so,
it.
So, like, there's just dimensions everywhere. So when you're in the 4D seat, you get D in the front, you get D in the back.
Yeah.
Right? And then 1D turns you one way, another D flips you another way.
Sure. All that
smoke
action.
Smoke starts filling in the room.
Water.
Strobe lights start going. Like, you get beat up.
Sounds like a party.
That doesn't sound like a party. Too many Ds. I can handle 2D is my optimum, right?
No.
3D is still a little distracting,
you
but I can handle
see,
it.
No,
4D, too many Ds.
You need to see the new screens where it's in front of you and on the left and right. So there's Ds everywhere.
No, I'm not man enough for that many Ds. It's too many. I was physically hurt when I left that theater. Like,
really?
I was in pain.
So what, like, just for the time being? Like, no more Ds?
No more Ds.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The six weird things we do but we don't talk about.
Oh.
And normally I wouldn't dip
only
into something like
six.
This.
Okay.
Normally I wouldn't dip into something like this, but number one is straight up me, like 100%. So let me start at...
Look in the mirror?
No. When you sit down in front of the TV to eat.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you ever delay eating until you found like the perfect thing to watch?
All the time. Jinx, you owe me a beer. Yo, all the time.
Right?
Yes.
Kim, are you going to be okay more?
Yeah, but that's so true.
Yeah, for sure. When I sit on the couch, and if I have a plate of food with me,
yeah,
I will actually place it on the actual couch, the plate, and I will scroll through Netflix, YouTube, regular TV, just to figure out exactly what I want to watch, and then I will start that thing.
Yeah.
And then pick up the plate and eat. And even if the food is cold,
yeah,
whatevs. I found the perfect thing to watch.
Dude, if I have a show coming on at 8 o'clock and I have to reheat something, I know that the reheat function on my microwave takes 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So I will hit start on the microwave at 7:56. So it's done at 8 and I walk out of the kitchen into the living room, sit down and start eating. Like,
you know,
it's,
you can
timed.
Pause your TV now.
I don't mess around with that, Maury.
Bro, that is like next level.
Okay, so we've all done that. 82% of people said yes.
Yeah.
Before you use the bathroom, do you check behind the shower curtain to make sure that there's nobody in there spying on you or ready to kill you?
No. Don't tell me how many people do that.
37% of people do that.
But okay. I snake check.
I was just going to say that. Snake checking is very important. I don't think that there's somebody in my house who's ready to kill me at any moment.
No, but snakes.
Right. Matthew, on the other hand. Do you ever smell your dirty underpants to see if you can wear them again?
Every day.
Oh, that is so gross.
No smell, wear another day.
Okay. That doesn't even rhyme. Like, if you're going to have a no smell, wear another day, at least come up with a limerick. But like, make it rhyme.
No smell, don't tell.
Right. Okay. Do you ever smell your dirty underpants to find if you can wear them again? 38% of people said yes. 12% say that they've turned their undies inside out and worn them again.
No, never.
No, I've never done that. No. That's weird.
Because then you got dirty underpants, and then you got dirty pants.
Right. Yeah.
But I do the half day rule, where if you only wear it for half day, you have another half day the next day.
Right, sure. That's not a rule more. have you ever picked your nose and eaten it?
Oh, as a kid, yeah.
All you did.
I don't like
kid.
The taste.
Yeah. Why? Is it acquired?
Hey, Moore, can I just throw this out there right now? As somebody who's 40, you shouldn't remember what boogers taste like. Yeah.
Well, the harder ones taste different than the junior ones.
Enough. So gross.
Anyway, check this out. 31% of people said yes. 30% of women said yes that they've done that. And finally, before we go, have you ever not showered for several days just to see how bad you could possibly smell?
Oh, hell no.
No, I've never done it as like a challenge, but no. I've gone several days without showering.
And I hated it when I did. Like maybe 2 days, maybe three at the most.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
And I'll pose this to both of you guys.
Okay.
And anybody else who wants to text us.
I have a feeling whatever the question is, the answer from Maury is going to be like the grossest we've ever heard.
Okay. So here's the question. As an adult, as a professional human being who has a job, not when you're on vacation, not when it's the middle of summer, not when you're sick or have the flu, as a healthy adult with a job, what is the longest run of time that you have gone while working and living a normal life without showering?
Oh, maybe like a day.
A day?
Yeah.
Wow.
One day. That's it.
Okay, like three.
Yeah, I've come in here after day three.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh! Yeah. I work with a bunch of animals. You guys are gross.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Hello?
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha.
Hi!
What's going on? What's your name?
Oh my God. I can't believe you guys are calling me. My name is Neeru.
Roz, we got a text from Neeru.
Mm-hmm.
That says, hey! Hey, good morning, Roz and Mocha. My partner and I at work love your show and would love to talk to you guys. We're not always partners. What do you mean your partner? Like, you guys are friends and then you're not friends and then you're friends and then you're not friends?
Or are you guys cops?
No, we work together. We work for Spectrum. And so there's always two people. Like, we're a crew.
All right.
Okay, so what exactly do you do for a living?
Well, we're both trying to be paramedics, but we work for Spectrum Patient Transfer Service.
Oh, okay. You said Spectrum, like we should all know what that is.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's totally my fault.
So what's going on, Neeru? How's life?
Life is not that great, but you know, it's okay. I listen to you guys every day. I'm on number 35 of episode podcast. Sorry, I talk too fast. So I was like,
that's okay. Thank you.
Why is life not that great?
You sound like you're in a happy place.
Because this is how I am. I'm like Mocha. Like, the energy's always high.
Yeah.
Always happy. But, you know, my boyfriend is Indian. I'm Sri Lankan, and my parents are not accepting us. So he kind of like ended things, and so it's not that great.
Oh, who ended it? You did or he did?
No, he did. Yeah, like, we've been dating for 7 years, and it's kind of my fault because I haven't really told them. And then
you hadn't told your parents you dated a guy for 7 years?
Yeah.
But what does that matter, though? Like, here's my question, and I, you know, as much as I like to say, live and let live and just be respectful in religion and all this stuff. I'm an atheist, so this is all sort of shocking to me whenever I hear this stuff, okay? But explain to me how you're with a guy 7 years, and presumably you guys are in love.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're Sri Lankan, he's Indian. And then your dad has a problem with the fact that you fell in love with an Indian guy, so the Indian guy dumps you?
Yes.
This is where it all goes wrong for me. Yeah. It's where it all goes wrong.
That older generation, right? Yeah. Because that's the way they were brought up, right?
Younger people do this.
Stick to your own.
It's not the older generation. It's obviously the younger generation because he dumped her.
No, for sure. But he felt the pressure from.
So ridiculous, I assume,
from your parents.
So what happened? You lost the love of your life over this?
Yeah. So basically, like, you know, we tried to arrange family meetings and stuff, and it didn't really work out in his favor.
What do you mean it didn't work out in his favor? Like, there was a trial, like where he had to like present evidence that he's a decent human being. Like, I don't understand this.
They're in denial, and so we just tried to like spring it on them, like, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get clarification on this right now. You're Sri Lankan, he's Indian. What was the problem that your dad had?
The problem is that he's Indian,
but not Sri Lankan. Why though?
Why is that a problem?
Because we're supposedly different, and we can't do that.
But why can't two people who are different be together? Why do you have to be the same?
I don't know. That's what I tried to ask him.
It's Sri Lankan or it's nothing.
That's right.
Damn.
Jeez, huh? And how long have they weren't born here. They immigrated here, right?
That's right.
How long have they been here? You were born here.
I was not born here, but we've been here for 24 years. But we got here when I was one.
And so as far as they're, you know, assimilating and getting, you know, wanting to be good Canadians and part of the culture, all that stuff, that has a line for them when it comes to who their daughter chooses to fall in love with.
Yes. Like, they're pretty cool and open to everybody else but me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And people don't think that this happens, but it happens still.
It does.
I think that that's something that we should all point out, laugh at, and ridicule. Absolutely. It's behavior like that that needs to be outed.
I agree.
And were you guys like talking about a future together and all that stuff?
Oh, for God's sake.
Nero, y'all need to get back together.
Let me ask you a question, okay?
Yeah,
because
what's that?
You got a life. It's your life. You sound like a good person. You sound like you made a decision in your life where you actually wanted to help people for a living and spend your days helping other people. That is noble. Yeah. That's noble as hell.
Thank you.
You have the option to tell your dad to go screw himself.
Yeah.
You do.
You know what? I wish it was that easy.
It is that easy.
Oh, man. I can't do it.
Wait, do you still live at home, Nehru?
I do. My career hasn't taken off or anything, so I can't really...
No.
You know, and I don't want to depend on him or anything like that. So I really want to get my stuff together before that, but he doesn't want to wait and he's really frustrated. And maybe people who know me are listening and they know the situation, but...
Tell your dad to go get stuffed. Make it his choice. Listen, this is me. I'm your kid, okay? You can choose to love me and accept the fact that there's a guy I've been with for 7 years that'll take a bullet for me, okay?
Yeah.
And we're great. We're wonderful. We are going to be awesome together, and we are going to be fantastic human beings, and we're going to build a team that helps people, and we're kind, and we're in love. And if that ain't good enough for you, I'm sorry. Make it his choice.
Yeah.
I did not know that this text that we got and calling Nehru back was going to end up being a Ross and Mocha Fix My Life.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. The other text that we sent you, I don't know if you guys like get all the messages or not, but...
I was like,
I also need to be a part of your Fix My Life situation.
Well, you just were.
Extended version.
Do you have more things that need to be fixed?
No.
Okay, good. Okay. Rough shape, girl.
Nehru, damn. Anyway, listen, thank you very much for hanging out with the Roz and Mocha Show every single day. And thank you for your dedication and your support and your love. And we appreciate you so much.
No, thank you so much.
Before we let you go, Nehru, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
It is not Roz, so it's Mocha!
Hey!
Thanks. I'm starting to come around to liking your dad, by the way, thinking he made the right choice.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Yo, Max, what's up? It's Roz and Mocha.
Hey!
Hey! Roz, Max just texted the show with a would you rather question.
Oh, hallelujah. I haven't had one of these in a long time.
Max.
I didn't think we did would you rather anymore.
Go for it, dude.
Okay, so would you rather be a high up in the mafia, in the old like mafia days, like in a classic mob movie in like New York?
Yeah.
Or be the fastest gun in the West and be a high up in an old West gang?
A lot of gang stuff. Okay. What you been watching over the holidays, Max?
Playing a lot of video games.
Yeah, playing a lot of video games.
Red Dead Redemption, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, before we answer, Max, what would your answer be?
I'm really interested in like this is weird, but like I like guns and stuff, and it's really fun to play in video games and stuff.
Sure, man.
So like probably like a cowboy.
All right. How old are you?
I'm 13.
Okay.
I'm the guy who completely obliterated and roasted Maury last time.
Oh, no. You want to say good morning to him right now, Maury?
No, it's the first day. Let's all be friends.
Yeah, let's all be friends. Interesting question. I don't know where to go with this because I immediately start thinking of the fashion. And there is something to be said for like a really great, well-fitted suit and some, you know, decent hair product and the meals they eat in those mob movies.
Or them velour tracksuits.
Right?
Yeah, or the velour cowboy boots and splurs.
I know. And chaps and...
Yeah.
Dust.
Dust and all that. Like, I don't
horses.
Know, is this something badass about being a gunslinger? You get to go to the... You know, that place where
I don't know, man. I'm going to say, because I've been rewatching Sopranos a lot over the holidays. Yeah. HBO been running like all marathons.
Yeah.
And I'm a big like fan of all the TV shows and movies, all the mob stuff.
Yeah.
My answer would be mafia.
Really?
Yeah.
No way, because then you have people coming after you. But if you're in the West or whatever and you're the fastest gun shooter in the West, you get to shoot
up. Yeah, but guess what?
You get to twirl guns.
Always going
to
be someone better.
No, I'm going to tell you. I figured out my answer and I'm going to tell you why. Penicillin.
Okay.
I can't live in a world where guys died of a toothache at 34. So I'm going with mafia.
Yeah, you would have been dead long ago.
Yeah, no, penicillin is gonna be the thing that gets it for me. So I'm gonna say mafia, bro.
Maury's horse would fling his horseshoe off and start crying.
It wasn't even that funny, but it's hysterical. You know what I mean?
I think Max only texted us so you can get an opportunity to roast Maury.
Yeah.
All right, Max. Yo, thanks so much, brother.
No problem. See ya.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Mark the date down, people. It is the first Roz and Mocha Show game of 2019. Let's get into it.
And now it's time for the game everybody loves to play.
It's like charades, but you make the noise of clues with your mouth. It's mouth charades. So get ready, get silly, and start to make those mouth charades.
Would you like to explain how mouth charades is played on the Roz and Mocha Show?
Other than the fact that I always lose.
Yes, okay. Other than that fact.
Right. The way mouth charades works is that it's very much like regular charades. Dammit Maury will be giving the clues. Good morning, Dammit Maury.
Good morning. Like okay. That. That's with my mouth.
Exactly. Not allowed to use your hands or any sort of body language in any way. Please sit on your hands when you're giving the clues. That way you won't give anything away. The clue's just given with the sounds that you can make with your mouth.
I'll sit on my hands after I read a clue.
Exactly. Okay, so I don't know who won the last time.
Oh, it was Mocha.
Oh, right.
Undefeated!
Right. I forgot
all right.
about that.
So what you're going to hear is a ding to signify the start of 20 seconds.
Right.
20 seconds of silence, and it's going to end with a double buzz.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, well, I'll give Roz a word first because he lost.
Oh, great. Is that how this works? So my humiliation starts soon?
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay. Great.
Ready,
okay.
Maury?
Yeah. Okay, Maury. Go ahead. That is your, I don't know, that's something, air escaping from something, from a wound.
Ew.
From, oh, your lips are so wet right now.
Oh.
It's so wet. Oh, sorry, I got distracted by Maury's wet lips.
said nobody ever.
I'll have you know.
Okay, what did I say? I think my guess was air escaping from a wound.
Ew, gross.
It is steak sizzling in a skillet.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that was obvious.
All right, Dan Moore.
Okay, Dan Moore.
Okay. Next word.
Okay, hang on.
Mocha's turn now.
Okay.
It's a whip. Spitting into a, what do you call those things? The spittoon.
Oh, God.
It's two things hitting knives. Knives against each other.
Sword fighting.
Oh, my God. Shut your mouth.
I said it before you said it.
Shut your mouth.
You said it.
Do sword fighting, please, Maury.
That's sword fighting.
That's sword fighting, dude.
Did you do that when you were a kid, like sword fight with other dudes? Like, not that kind of sword fighting.
Next word, please.
Give me a minute.
You can have all the minutes more.
Okay.
Okay, go. Just go.
Hold on a second.
Ready?
Okay.
Yeah. That's an angry bear.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yo, you got one!
Dude, new year, new you.
Wow!
That's Angry Bear?
Yeah, you got it! Show him the paper! Boy, show him the paper!
Right there, look at that.
Angry Roaring Bear. Oh my God.
You got it, dude! That's amazing!
I feel like I helped with that.
Mark this date down. This is the first time you've ever gotten a question right in
Mocha Raids. Stop now!
No, it's tied.
Never mind. Stop now.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Ready?
Yeah. Yeah.
A car, a drag race, a blender.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
Oh my God, this is fun.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All that's happening right now, do blender again more. Do it again.
That's it speeding up. I hear that all the time.
Okay. How about this? Yeah. We'll do one more. Okay.
Yeah.
If you get this right, we're tied.
Tie.
And we go a tiebreaker.
Okay. Yes.
But if you lose, then in life, you lose.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for reminding me of all those things. Okay.
You got a best friend.
Okay.
You ready?
First of all, you need to brush the back of your tongue, bro. It's gross.
It's like a weird brown color.
Yeah, like well, you
I,
really
it's
do.
Because I ate.
Let's stick your tongue out again. Keep going. Say ah.
Ah.
No.
You need a stick.
Yeah, no. You need to brush. I'm going to say somebody with gingivitis was that sound.
No, that was Godzilla.
Oh.
All right, let me tally up the score. You have 2-1 for me.
Shut up.
You're Mouse Charades champion, Mocha. And that is how you play Mouse Charades.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Take a pause for the cause, because I said so, Roz.
Oh.
Air Transat has partnered with great Quebec chef Daniel Vezina to offer gourmet meals on its flights. Now, when we say gourmet meals, we're talking like 4-course gourmet meal. Cheese plate, dessert, wine. One of the best things is that you can order your entire meal before you even get on that flight.
Yeah, I've done this before.
You have?
Yeah, I've flown club class with Air Transat and I had the meal, which like...
Can you remember what you had?
Yeah, it's the beef. It was like a pulled sort of, almost like a braised rib thing under like a delicious reduction underneath it with like vegetables. It was like, and I'm not just saying this because I wouldn't just say this. It was, hands down, pants down, the best food I have ever had on a flight.
Wow. The chef's menu by Daniel Vezina is included when you fly in club class on Air Transat. Plus, a limited number of meals are available for purchase on flights to Europe and the South in economy class.
Yep.
And you can pre-order those 48 hours before your flight. Super, super convenient.
It's so good.
You can reserve right now, airtransat.com.
Hey, you want to take a phone call?
Yas.
All right.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. My name is Lawrence, and I just wanted to call in and tell you about a trip that I just had down to Florida.
Oh, okay.
Ultimately, the bottom line is I thought of Maury while I was in the shower, which is sounds kind of weird, but the reason why was they had all the soap, the conditioner, and the shampoo all on lockdown. So as soon as I got into the shower and I seen this all locked down, I immediately thought of Maury.
Because we all know, or maybe you don't know, and this is brand new information for you, but our very own, damn it, Maury, loves to steal soaps and shampoo, not only from hotels that he visits, or he has other people who visit places and have to stay in hotels. Bring back soaps and shampoos. I've had to do it. Roz has to
do it.
No,
I've never done it.
You've never done it?
No.
You didn't do it once?
No.
Oh, I think two of our bosses had to do it.
I've been asked every single time I've ever traveled, and I have never brought Maury back anything.
And
he's not my kid. He doesn't get gifts when I come back.
Maury is now advanced to stealing soap and shampoo locally from the spin cycle place that he goes to.
I don't know if you heard that, but Maury goes to Spin Cult. And in the showers there, he really likes the expensive soap that they have. And Maury didn't steal the bottle, but he brought in Tupperware into the shower and just started pumping the top of this shampoo and soap into Tupperware that he then brought home.
Yeah, stuff up his game.
And I just finished the Tupperware in the shower this over the holiday, so I have to go back and get more.
Right, so yeah, so now you got to go work out.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Lawrence, at what point while you were taking that shower were you then trying your best to figure out how you would be able to get that soap and shampoo and take it out of the hotel?
On this one that they had locked down, there was no way that Maury would have got it. He would have had to get a straw and stick it down.
and siphon it? Like a hillbilly?
They had a lock on the top.
Like a hillbilly trying to get gas? Like he's got to siphon it?
Yeah, it was bad. I looked at it a couple of times. I even thought, how can I get into this? And there was no way. They had a lock on the bottom part of the bottle, and then they had this special lock on the top, so only the dispensing handle could be pushed down and used in that sense.
Oh, geez.
You had to have a key to get into this and open up the top.
I just figured out also, while I was in New York, how to get free cologne samples.
Which is?
Of expensive colognes. You know, they have little spray bottles or whatever. Yeah. So I walk in and I said to them, I'm like, I'm wondering if you have a few I could try so that my asthmatic husband, I could see if it works with him. So they gave me like 5 or 6 different samples that I can then walk out with. And
so you lied and said that your husband was asthmatic.
To get free cologne samples.
Right, yeah. What a hustle, huh? What a racket.
Anything to save a buck.
Anything.
And the man is still in debt.
I know.
Imagine that.
That's the biggest mystery of all.
Yeah. Now, do you actually even give them to Matthew, or you just keep all that for yourself?
Oh, no, they're for me.
Okay, yeah. your poor asthmatic husband.
Thanks for the call, Lawrence.
No problem. Have a good day.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I want to tell you a story of a 26-year-old named Pollyanna Viana.
Pollyanna Viana.
Pollyanna Viana from the UFC.
Okay.
She's 5'4" and weighs 115 pounds.
Yeah.
She's waiting outside of her apartment in Rio de Janeiro for an Uber.
Oh, it's a dangerous place.
A man approached and told her that he had a gun and demanded her cell phone. And here's what she said.
She messed him up.
Again, Pollyanna Viana, 26 years old, 5'4", weighs 115 pounds from the UFC.
Yeah.
She said, he was really close to me, so I thought, if it's a gun, he won't have time to draw. So I stood up. I threw 2 punches and a kick. He fell, then I caught him in a rear naked choke. Then I sat him down in the same place we were before and said, now we'll wait for the police. Later on, she found out that the gun wasn't actually a gun at all.
What was it?
It was a cutout in the shape of a handgun made out of cardboard.
Tried to mug a woman with a cardboard gun and got his ass whooped?
Yeah. Now, do you want to see what the... Here's how boss she is. Yeah. All right? She took a picture of him after she beat him up.
Good.
And posted it on social.
Good. I'm not off and about. Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no.
Yo, that guy's...
His face is burger.
His face?
Like, he looks like... You know what he looks like? This is how messed up the man's face is. I'll give the perfect analogy of exactly what he looks like. He looks like a colorized version of those horrific looking 3D ultrasounds that people get of their babies. Where their babies look like melted candles. This guy looks like a full color version of one of those melty candle 3D ultrasounds that you get of your baby.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix? Roz and Mocha got you.
Hey, Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on, man? What's up?
Okay. So, trouble in paradise, huh?
Oh, yeah, all the time, man. Every week, new troubles.
Okay. How old are you, Kevin? You sound like a young guy. How old are you?
I'm 20.
You're 20, yeah. Okay. So you're very young. Okay, yeah. So you wrote us. Yeah. FML. Fix My Life. I just recently got into a relationship with a girl. Now, we never made it official, but we've only been seeing each other for the last couple months. I haven't really felt the spark lately, and I don't know if I should just rip it off like a bandage or take it slow. So what are you asking? Why can't you even say the words, should I dump her?
Basically, I don't know. Everything's been fine, right? She's great. She's got a great personality. We kick it all the time and we never have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to make it seem as if I've been, I don't know. I don't want to say using her.
Mm-hmm. But that's fine. So are you just now sitting here not really that into her and you just don't have the guts to be honest with her? Or are you hoping that eventually if you guys just keep doing what you're doing that you may magically fall in love with this person?
You know what? It's really like a little bit of both, to be honest. Because
I don't know. It sounds to me, Kev, like you don't want to be in this relationship and that she likes you more than you like her.
Yeah, and I hate that because I've never broken up with a girl before. Okay. You know,
let's talk about being a jerk right now. Okay, real quick. seriously, let's talk about being a jerk. Okay, so you think that stringing a girl along and maybe using her is going to make you look like a jerk. So if you break up with her, you're going to be looking like the guy who used her, right?
Yes.
But I'll tell you what the bigger jerk move is to be with somebody that you don't want to be with, because people deserve better than that. Nobody should be spending time caring about somebody or thinking about somebody or worrying about somebody or reaching out about somebody or altering their life around somebody who doesn't want to be with them. That's cruel. It really is. That's the real jerk move. You dumping her out of the blue, even for no reason, even to just say, I can't do this. Done. You're gone. Out of my life.
Yeah. It'll be easier for her too.
Way easier for her.
To forget about you.
The timing of this is you got to stop trying to make yourself come out of this looking good. You're not. You're not going to look good. You're going to break somebody's heart.
Kevin, how long have you been feeling like this?
Probably like a week now. And I've been talking to all my friends and they kind of gave me the exact same like advice. Yeah. So like,
if it's still a new relationship and you're not into it, chances are you won't be into it down the road. And Roz is right, man. You don't want to be the jerk. And right now, you kind of seem like a jerk.
I'm kind of being a jerk, eh?
Yeah, no, dude. You're being selfish. You're looking after your own ass.
Really
because
is,
you don't have the guts to be honest with somebody. And the one thing that Mocha and I have said repeatedly on this show, repeatedly, that in any relationship, the most important thing is absolute honesty.
Yeah,
especially when it comes to you sort of pulling a state of the union of your relationship. Mm-hmm. This is whether you're married 15 years or you're dating for 15 months.
Agreed.
When you guys sit around and, you know, you analyze where you are because your heart says one thing, your head saying another thing, it's all very confusing, man, right? But if you're not like if you sit down and you guys were to have a conversation about this, you're not there. And people deserve better than that. Just because you're worried about how you look. It's terrible, man.
I know. It's selfish.
So, Kevin, break up with that girl. Let her live her life. You do your thing and end of story.
Yeah, I guess it's simple enough, to be honest.
Yeah, you are going to look like a jerk, okay?
You've heard the same advice from all your friends. Now you're hearing it from Roz and Mocha. So, validation right there, bro.
Yeah. Validation from 92.5.
Yeah, you are not going to feel good about this.
Yeah, I know.
20-year-olds. What's the matter with you?
Grow up. Man.
Be a man.
Wait, is part of the reason why you don't want to break up with her is because you enjoy the sex?
Actually, like, it hasn't been the best.
Oh.
Don't tell her that, bro.
Yeah. keep that part of the conversation. Forget I even asked, okay? Forget I even asked.
Yeah, leave that part out.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You're already a huge jerk.
Yeah.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life, only on KISS.
Question. Hey, Maury, come on in here, my love. Haven't heard a lot from Dan and Maury this morning. Very busy.
How's it going, my babes?
Good. I don't know how to listen, man. Terms of endearment.
2019.
Always makes it feel good. I like it when I go to the bank and the girl at the bank calls me sweetheart. I go to a bank, my bank, a TD, is it's old school, so there's still tellers and stuff. Because Catherine's bank, there's no tellers anymore. You have to go to a machine.
Oh.
My bank, the girl calls you sweetheart all the time. I like it. I go up there because I want her to call me love or sweetheart or honey. Like, it's old school. I really dig it, man. I throw it right back at her, too. We have this thing.
What do you say?
She's like, hey, love. I'm like, what's going on, doll? Yeah.
See, that's fantastic.
Forget about it. Makes you feel good. Makes you feel good.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. What's up?
Hi, my name is Rachel. How are you?
Good, Rachel.
So with my daughter, I always say to people, good morning, beautiful, or hey, love. And she gets really mad at it, saying like, mom, why do you do that? So I try to explain to her, isn't it nicer to have somebody that says like, good morning, love, or hey, beautiful, than versus hi?
Yeah, I'm a little old school in this, where I like those sort of playful, flirty but non-sexual ways of greeting people, strangers in those situations, right? Like, I would love it if I walked into a bar and the woman who seats you was like, hey, what's going on, toots? You know what I mean? I love that. I love that. Like, I really do. And I take zero offense to it. Not only that, that place and that person would become my new favorite place and person.
Me too. And for, like, I work in transitional treatment homes and in the school. So I do the same thing. At the school or at my home, like, hey, love, good morning, how's it going? Yeah. And I just feel it brightens their day up versus like, hey, good morning, get up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That voice.
Yeah. When I walk up to the teller and she's like, hey, what's going on, sweetheart? You know what I'm like, I love it. I'm like, I want to stay there.
Right?
Like, it makes me go back. Like those things. And we've got away from all of that because those are now microaggressions.
You know,
you totally
can't,
agree.
You can't call somebody sweetheart that you don't know. You know,
it's
demeaning. It's sexist. It's all these things.
Hearing you, Roz, and you, Rachel, talk about this. Oh my God, like Ross and Rachel.
Yeah.
We're friends. We were on a break! I just dawned on me that I do the same thing with some women that I know. I will call them sweetie or sweetheart, even like wives of my friends. When I see them after not seeing them for a long time, I'll say, how are you, sweetheart?
Yeah.
Before giving a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah, you gotta cross that bridge, though, and start doing it with strangers.
For me, I do, right? And it's my seven-year-old. She's like, but mom, you call me love. And I'm like, yes, but it's a nice gesture for somebody to hear.
Oh, I also say honey.
When especially when they don't have the best homes, like some of my clients, right? It's nice for them to feel like somebody cares about them.
Yeah.
Is there a line that you can't cross on what you call people?
Yeah, I think so.
Like sweet cheeks?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, no, because then it feels like a game as opposed to something that is organic and genuine.
A nice gesture, sure.
If somebody says, hey, thank you, love, I walk out of there feeling like a better person.
Sure.
Right?
Thank you very much.
Because I don't think that they're scheming. I don't think that they're trying to get anywhere. I legitimately think that they are trying to make somebody's day a little bit easier and a little bit better.
Yes.
And that's how they show it. And I also really appreciate that they buck this sort of trend that we're going towards where everything is a microaggression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. We need more of those people. It's harmless, but it makes you feel so good. It's like what harm comes out of it? None. What good comes out of it? A lot. Do more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, Rachel, we appreciate you, sweetheart. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks, love. Have a good day.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Happy New Year!
Can you hear me? Okay, it sounds like my microphone's turned around backwards.
No, Happy New Year.
Okay.
No, that's fine.
All right, okay. Just easing into thins, man. Easing into thins.
Welcome back. New year, new me.
Yeah. New you.
I don't know.
Oh, I was going to say, you look the same. Your beard's a little bit more bushy, but you look the same.
Yeah, and I trimmed it, too.
Yeah, you did. Good for you.
Just a little bit. Just activate the growth.
You're going all out, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, Maury, come in here for a second. Happy New Year, damn it, Maury. Did you dye your hair over the holidays? Because I swear to God, you look like you did a little Just for Men.
No.
Tell me, Mocha, look at his hair. Does it not look like he Just for Men?
Oh, it does.
No.
It looks like a...
Yeah, you did.
I literally have done nothing to my hair.
Darker tint of brown.
Yeah. Did you Just for Men?
No, I didn't.
Take your glasses off, too, because your eyebrows look darker as well.
No, but I have, over the holidays. I did a hair banana mask.
No. Look at you. Look like you just from it. Like you have a like. There's a because your skin looks a little bit more pale. Yeah, put the lights on for a second.
I can't. Can I turn these back on?
No, no, no. Because I need to see your eyebrows because you look a little Groucho this morning. Right? Look at that. Tell me he didn't. Tell me he didn't just for men. That is not a man that just for manned.
I did not just for man.
And you did your eyebrows too, huh?
No.
Yeah, looks like it.
No, this is what rest does.
But I'm not saying it looks bad. I'm not saying it looks bad. Like, I'm not, I don't want you to think that I'm...
Go like this, Ben.
Now,
like,
I have dyed my hair in the past blonde.
Like, you got bald here?
You gotta do you.
No, Matthew says I'm going bald here.
Right. Turn around, let me see that.
Look right there.
No, I know. You know, sometimes when babies would wake up in the crib and they've just slept for one spot for way too long,
yeah,
and it
kind of
looks like a crop circle from Aliens,
like,
right? That's what more
you slept on the top of your head.
So you did not just for men.
No, I didn't.
No?
No,
looks
nothing.
Good, though.
Thank
Whatever you.
You
did, it looks good.
A banana mask.
Yeah, it's growing long. You have bangs now. It's weird. Like, new year, new you, Maury with bangs. Yeah.
Or it's like, this is still 2018 here.
Incredible.
Yeah, it literally is.
You still look like somebody who played Caesar in some old Roman movie, though, with those bangs. Like, they're just a half inch too high to be bangs. They're like, it's very Colosseum. You know what I mean?
The first day in the new year, here we go.
You're going to force me to meet Mocha to fight a lion in a minute.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Damon Mori was in New York over the holidays and went to see Madonna's new house.
Oh yeah.
Thinking that she would invite them in for tea.
And what did she do?
Nothing. But she was clearly home.
Did you bring her a housewarming gift?
No, we took selfies out front.
Oh, well, that's why she didn't invite you in.
Right.
Rude.
Yeah, but we were the only two young gay couple fan out front.
How do you know?
Because there's nobody else there. The road was dead.
Yeah.
We did our research. We found your home and we're standing outside. Like, does that not count for something?
Right? Yeah. But you honestly did believe that she was going to be like, because you start having these fantasies, right?
Of course.
Like, you're on your way there and you're in a cab and you start having these fantasies that, you know, she's going to like pop her head out the window and be like, oh my God, isn't that precious?
Yeah.
And then just sort of wave you guys through the security gate.
I thought like she would send somebody out the service entrance to sort of be like, come on. You know, come on in and let me show you around and have some tea.
Right.
Because Madonna was home because she was doing a like a New Year's Eve thing.
So how should everything play out in your mind? Like, you guys get in to Madonna's new spot in New York City. She opens the door. And
no, I didn't think she was going to open the door. I thought she would send somebody down to sort of suss us out first.
Yeah, but then you come inside.
Oh,
and you meet Madonna, and she says to you what?
I pictured her like she's sitting in a chair getting her hair done and she turns around like in the salon chair and she's like, my friends, how are you? Boys. I've been looking for some company.
Yeah, Hey, did you see her butt implants?
Yeah, there's no way those are real.
What do you mean?
Madonna
but
got
she
butt
didn't
implants?
Deny them. She responded, but it seems like she didn't deny it.
Hold on, what is an 80-year-old woman doing getting butt implants?
Because she was doing a performance on New Year's Eve at the Stonewall.
Right?
No, she's not 80. She's 60.
No, she's not.
Yes, she's 60.
With all them wrinkles?
Stop trolling a Mocha. Jesus Christ.
Come on, new year, new you. You love Madonna now.
Hold on. Let me find that quote. Maury, find it on your phone for me where she denied it. Because Madonna showed up on stage with her son. And the shot of her really looks like she did the Kardashian thing where she is like full. It's crazy. Come around here and look at this picture real quick. Like, you tell me. Come around here and look at this picture. And then, Maury, you find me her comment on it, her denial. Look at this picture. Right?
Yo, that is straight up.
Right?
That is straight up new year, new ass.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, that is...
That's not real.
No, and listen, do your thing. Like, I don't care. I don't want you to think that I'm like...
She looks like she's hiding another pair of pants in there.
Somebody or whatever the hell, but there's an entire group of really famous individuals who have made it their life's mission to encourage young women to mutilate their bodies. And that's what I have a goddamn problem with. What's that?
I emailed it to you.
You emailed it to me. So listen to this. So you tell me. So we were all sitting there waiting for Madonna to come out and say, guys, listen, I didn't get butt implants.
Yeah.
So this is Madonna. Her denial. of getting butt implants when that story broke. She wrote this, desperately seeking no one's approval and entitled to free agency over my body like everyone else. Thank you, 2019. It's going to be an amazing year. Hashtag 2019, hashtag freedom, hashtag respect, hashtag no fear, hashtag no discrimination.
Hashtag your new ass.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Did you watch the Golden Globes last night?
I watched 1 hour of it.
Yeah?
I thought the intro with Sandra Oh and so Andy Samberg was way too long.
Yeah.
Way, way, way too long. I think by the time I went to bed, they'd only given away 2 awards.
Yeah. She's charming. I like Sandra Oh a lot. But I feel that, I don't know. You get one, you're either going to get one or the other. You're going to get somebody out there who gets real political right out of the gate, and that's sort of a turnoff because I'm sick of that. But then you get other people that are just going to play it extremely safe. Like, they played it real safe. Like, even their jokes were based around being safe.
Yes.
And that was kind of boring. Whatever. The awards were a mess, though. They were all over the joint. First of all, I thought that I had seen everything until I was about 40 minutes into the show and I had only seen one thing that somebody had won an award for.
Really?
Yeah. That was it. Because I haven't seen Green Book. I didn't watch Roma yet.
No.
I didn't see Spider-Verse, which I really want to.
Yeah, I saw the first award being given away.
Yeah.
And then the second one. And then I think that was it.
Did you see the look on the faces of everybody at the A Star Is Born table?
No.
Oof, it was rough. They had no idea what was going on. They've put them right in the front, too. So Lady Gaga didn't have to walk far. And Bradley Cooper was wearing that white suit.
Yeah.
Really popped on camera.
Well, listen, there could be 100 right people in a room who don't believe in you wearing a white suit.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And all it takes is that one white suit to win them all over.
That's right. Didn't they make that joke last night? Sandra Oh did.
Play
the Sandra Oh clip.
When did she say that?
Yeah.
At the very beginning.
She didn't.
Yeah. Lady Gaga was sitting right there too. Which you could understand that joke going over real well if Lady Gaga wound up winning, but she didn't.
But she did respond, like Lady Gaga yelled out.
Hold on. Go find it for him, Maury.
Help him out, man.
Original song, Jeff Bridges, Christian Bale, 17-year-old fan on stage. I don't have that, man. But did she really make that joke?
She did, yeah.
Because, like, part of the actual monologue, the beginning, their opening, I listened, like, I don't know. After the first, like, minute, I was like, ah, boring. And then I kind of zoned out for a bit.
Oh, that was it, huh?
Yeah, I zoned out. And then I saw something with Jim Carrey.
They're
trying to make him go sit
with the TV people.
Move from the where all the movie stars were and go sit with the TV stars. Yeah. I saw that part.
Which is weird because they do that there. It's interesting.
I had no idea.
Yeah, because Michael Douglas was sitting up on the second level and he won.
With the TV people
because he's doing a TV show.
Yes, but still.
Right?
Why don't they just like mix them all together?
There was a couple crazy moments. We'll get that Sandra Oh thing for you. But there was a couple of really interesting moments. One was definitely looking at the faces on the people sitting at the table for A Star Is Born. The other one that was interesting was when Rami Malek won for
Bohemian Rhapsody
for playing Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
If you remember, Sacha Baron Cohen had that role.
Wait, why did he drop out again?
He dropped out because of creative differences. So the way that movie went was Sacha Baron Cohen really wanted to be a part of something that told an unfiltered version of the Queen story.
Right.
And the band, Brian May and the rest of the guys in Queen, had so much say in the finessing and massaging of what actually was told that Sacha Baron Cohen didn't think that it was an accurate representation of their story. And he didn't want to be a part of any something that glossed over. That's the story. And then so he backed out.
He would have won tonight.
Yeah, you think? So this is, listen to this, Sandra Oh.
A Star Is Born, starring Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, is nominated for Best Motion Picture Drama.
Yes. And their performances were incredible.
And it just proves, and I'm just coming up with this now, that there can be 100 people in the room and 99 don't believe in you. And you just need one to believe in you. And that was Bradley Cooper.
Sandra, I couldn't agree with you more. I was just thinking, you know, totally off the cuff, there could be 100 people in the room and 99 don't believe in you, and you just need one to believe in you. And that, quite frankly, was Bradley Cooper.
So true. So true.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I'm sure stock in Fiji water went up after the Golden Globes.
Yeah, it was all about the Fiji water girl. And this started happening early on the red carpet when I started seeing these pictures. She was the first big story of the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
The girl who she's, if you don't know, she's the girl holding the tray of Fiji water. She's trying to hydrate all the stars. But when she stood behind all the celebrities and just like stared down the camera.
Oh,
like
yeah.
she really made a meal of the whole thing.
Like a boss.
Yeah. But who is Fiji water girl?
Her name is Kel Cuthbert and she is on the phone with us right now. What's going on?
Hi, good. How are you guys?
Good. Where you at right now?
Just in Los Angeles.
Holding some Fiji water, trying to photobomb some more stars or what?
I did open my door this morning and find quite a few boxes of Fiji water sitting there.
Are you serious?
I did, yeah.
So were you trying, like, was this deliberate? Like, were you trying to get noticed while you were standing there looking down the barrel of the camera as stars were being photographed on the carpet?
Subtle, wasn't it?
Yeah, very.
Did you plan this before?
I've actually worked in this exact same capacity for Fiji a bunch of times before. No one ever noticed. But the red carpet's just so crazy. There are photographers everywhere. And of course, Fiji has their own photographer that kind of follows you around and takes lots of photos of you. And you want your presence to be known because you are there to hydrate the stars. So you're kind of trying to get around, offering everyone water. And it's just no matter where you stand, you're in the shot. And they posted me up in a particularly high traffic spot. And it was just, I guess, even busier than the usual spots that I stand.
So a lot of the pictures that we saw of you, Kel, standing there with the Fiji water, Idris Elba, Jamie Lee Curtis, Nicole Kidman, Heidi Klum, at any point did somebody come up to you and be like, yo, you need to chill staring at the camera like that? Or did it just happen afterwards that everybody noticed?
It was just the collective of the pictures that was noticed afterwards.
And gotcha.
The feedback has been very positive. People think it was very funny, like a light moment, I guess.
I've been on those carpets many times, and I know that scene. And if you're there, what winds up happening, like if you're holding a tray of water and you're standing behind Idris Elba, there's 40 guys going, "Water girl, get out of the shot! Get out of the shot!" Did you get a lot of that or no?
None of that because I was in a line of just so many photographers, but the celebrities at each photographer, if they would stop at all, would only stop for like a split second. So it's just those photos are happening so quickly and there's not even time for you to move once someone decides they're going to stop. It's just like they'll stop for one and then they're gone.
So we're talking to Kel Cuthbert. She's the Fiji water girl from the Golden Globe red carpet. Was this... I don't know what the best way to say this. Was this organic or was this orchestrated?
Definitely organic. I mean, yeah, we've done these same events so many times and it was...
But this was not designed... was not designed for you to go viral, right?
No. I don't think you can ever make yourself go viral.
No, true.
That's something you can't control. The internet's a beast.
Yeah, exactly. And you now are officially the first meme of 2019.
I love it. A dream. I've always wanted to be a meme.
Hey, have you heard from any of the stars that you photobomb?
You know what? My messages online have just exploded, and I can barely see, like, a few messages deep. Like, it's just... I just need like a good couple hours to sit down and sift through everything.
How do you parlay this Fiji water girl into opportunity and possibly cash?
Well, that seems to be all unveiling itself with each day.
Right.
Just kind of doing a talk show circuit right now, which is insane. Not something I ever imagined I would do. And definitely hoping to parlay it into more acting jobs and modeling jobs and just any opportunity that presents itself.
What offers have come in so far since the night of the Golden Globes and you going viral?
Well, definitely working with Fiji more.
Yeah. Yeah, they must have signed you that big contract now, huh?
They loved it. They're very fond of what happened.
Did you get paid for that night or is that volunteer work?
No, it's paid. It was all just through a third-party staffing agency.
Oh, wow.
So they just hire a bunch of brand ambassadors for each event and you hand out the water.
Hey, maybe this is like a Miss Golden Globe where, you know, next year you get to be the star photographed and then you hand the baton off to somebody else who stands in the back with the tray of water photobombing stars.
Yeah, maybe I'll be getting photobombed next year.
Right?
Hey, did the agency that you're signed to in Toronto want to sign you for multi-year after this as well?
Oh, yeah. I've been with them for ages. They're wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Where are you from?
I'm from Toronto.
I moved to Los Angeles like three and a half years ago, but grew up my whole life in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
And I come back all the time.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
And between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Well, I'm just going to say Mocha.
Oh. Yeah.
I like the name.
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Yo, like shout out to Fiji Water. Yo, Kelp Cuthbert, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us on the Roz and Mocha Show.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Jamie Lee Curtis is slamming Fiji Water, and I knew this was going to happen.
Why?
Yesterday we talked to the Fiji Water girl. If you missed it, you can find that at kiss925.com. Because all those people in those shots, all those stars in those shots mm-hmm. are inadvertently now advertising Fiji Water without getting paid for it.
Oh, you know what? I didn't even think about that.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah?
Yes.
So people like Jamie Lee, Idris Elba.
All of them. All of them. Because those are the big pictures of them that went viral.
Heidi Klum.
From the red carpet.
Yeah.
So now when you see a picture of Jamie Lee Curtis, for example, from the Golden Globes, the picture that you will most often see is her with the Fiji Water girl in the back.
Right.
When the Fiji Water story gets plastered everywhere, when everyone starts talking about the Fiji Water girl, they're showing pictures of Idris Elba, Jamie Lee
Curtis,
all
these other stars. You want to see the big stars, right? The recognizable stars.
Yes. And so they then become the ones who are advertising.
So Jamie Lee is the first.
So she's pissed. And yeah. she was saying that... normally, and I've seen this a lot too, where stars just in general avoid that area of the carpet where,
right.
you know, Moet might be or Fiji Water might be or some other branded, you know, sponsor may be positioned on the carpet. Oftentimes they will just blow past that because they don't even want to be involved with that, because inadvertently you will then be a spokesperson or looked at it to be endorsing.
Could it also
product.
Be that maybe you are already attached to another brand and it may look bad?
No, it's about money.
But how's like, that for example,
you don't get paid. Listen,
if Jennifer Aniston was caught in with Fiji Water girl behind her, like, would Smart Water be pissed because she advertises?
No.
She's a spokesperson for them.
It's a public space. It's whatever. I mean, who knows?
But how's that any different than showing up to an event and there's the backdrop on the red carpet with the sponsors' logos on that red carpet that you have to?
Because pose the difference is this: is that Fiji Water, they say, got $12 million worth of advertising from the Fiji Water girl on the red carpet.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's because everybody is sharing the pictures of Jamie Lee Curtis and Idris Elba and everybody else with the Fiji Water girl behind them.
And she's like, I don't want to be in this.
There would be no story if all of these pictures were the Fiji Water girl alone in a shot staring at a camera.
Yeah.
Then it would just be a girl with water.
And nobody would care.
It's
the fact that she's standing behind all these big A-listers that are on the red carpet.
So
that people all universally recognize and know.
So what Jamie Lee Curtis is pissed about is that Fiji Water got $12 million worth of free advertisement and she got nothing.
Oh, no. So what's going to happen now?
Nothing.
You think Fiji Water is going to like throw them some...
No.
Have to throw them some cash?
No.
Can Jamie Lee say you can't use my photo?
No, because she doesn't own the photo.
The photographer owns the photo.
So
she has no... Did she say anything? Did she say like why or... Her reasoning? Did she try and
avoid? Yeah, she goes, I specifically move away from the blatant promotions by Fiji Water and Moet, where young women with their trays filled with their wares stood near a designated camera. I knew where the photographer was poised there, and I moved away as I said out loud, I don't want to be doing advertising for either of you.
Oh, no!
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Who's this?
Fabian.
Oh, Fabian. What's up, man? How are you?
What's going on, guys?
How's
the holidays?
Good. How was yours?
Good. Relaxing, you know? Going to Vancouver this week.
Oh, nice. For what?
I'm going, you know, for what, man? There's an expo out there.
Oh, Weed Expo.
Yeah.
My licensed producer paying for me to go down.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So, you're going to Vancouver. Dope, right? Hey, by the way, when you're in Vancouver, you can still listen to the Roz and Mocha Show, 6 to 8 p.m., on Kiss Radio out there.
Well, of course. Duh.
So what are you hoping to score at this Weed Expo? Are you out there just to see what's up? Or are you going to buy supplies?
I'm going there to work, man. My licensed producers fly me out there just so I can work for them.
So you now grow weed for like a company?
No. Okay. I don't do anything. I just still buy from them. It's just because I've been a loyal client of theirs. They're flying me out because I've been dying to go out there.
Oh, wow. That seems like a great thing. Was he high as hell when he bought that ticket for you and he regrets it now or no?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Can I let you know on this little secret, man?
Yeah.
You know, I still get nervous when I call you guys.
Why?
I don't know, dude. Just right now, I noticed it, man. I get butterflies in my stomach when I'm on hold.
That's love, bro.
You know?
Love will do that to you.
Yeah, hey, baby, love you too, man.
Hey, no, it is what it is, right? I do, man. I really checked out to make sure I didn't miss your miss any episodes while I was out there. So I already knew about that.
You're the best.
No, man. You guys are the best. I wanted to make sure you guys had a good holiday and welcome back and all the best for this new year. And, you know, I'll be listening.
Thank you, Fabian. Safe travels to Vancouver. Call us when you get back.
I will. Thanks a lot, guys.
Later, man.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Did you see this video, Drake and the 17-year-old?
Is that real?
Yeah.
I saw the tweet. I didn't click on the video because I was like,
I'm so torn with this, man.
What happened?
So the video's from 2010, first of all. It's not new.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's obviously somebody coming after Drake. I like how people are blaming on Kim and Kanye.
Oh, no.
They're the ones that are launching this campaign to take down Drake.
Get me started on Kanye now.
So it's from 2010, and Drake's on stage in Denver, Colorado, and he pulls a fan on stage, and he starts slow dancing with this girl.
Okay.
Okay, and it's not like he's not grinding on her, he's not anything else. He's slow dancing with this girl, and then he pays her a couple of compliments, and then says, how old are you?
Yeah.
And she says, 17. And then the crowd goes, oh, crazy, and then Drake's like, oh my God, I'm too young to go to jail.
Yeah, then, because at that point, he would have been like
23.
Yeah, 23.
And then he gives her two kisses on the cheek, a kiss on the forehead, and a little peck on the lips, right? Which is what Elvis used to do.
Sure.
Elvis, like all these guys, everybody grabbed their young fans, give them that little tiny peck, and they freak out, right? Pop stars have been doing this to young fans forever.
Sure.
Since the beginning of rock and roll, right? It has always happened. But then Drake says, you look real good, and I like the way your breasts felt against me.
And hold on. He said that when? In 2020?
On the mic, on stage. I was like with him. I'm ready to defend this up until that point. But then as soon as he says, as soon as he knows she's 17, and then he says, you look real good, you're thick, and I like the way that your breast felt against me.
Aubrey.
Right?
This is when we got to start using real names.
What you doing?
But I can't defend that.
And I get it. The R. Kelly thing ran on the weekend, and that is still such a mystery, and I don't understand how that R. Kelly thing has been going on forever. And people are hypersensitive to this now, and people are saying that, you know, the Me Too movement is finally making its way into black culture because it really hasn't up to this point with black pop stars. So a lot of people are happy about that. But I don't think that this is it. Also, Tyga was 25 and a father or an expecting father when he hooked up with Kylie Jenner, who was 17.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was fine with that. And then as soon as she turns 18, we put him on the cover of magazines. Like, you have to either say something is right or something is wrong.
It can't be both ways.
It can't be both ways. Also, just for the record, because people are pointing this out, and I didn't want to be the guy that's all, like, age of consent in Denver, Colorado, 17, so what's the big deal? But that is the reality. That's the law. Okay? I don't want to be the guy that is like, age of consent, 17 in Colorado, what, Drake, nothing wrong with what you did, bro. But okay, but I don't want to be that guy, but that's just the reality of it. So somebody's coming after Drake. Like, it's happening. Because this is from 2010 and somebody was sitting on this. And a lot of people are like, we know Harvey Levin at TMZ has a vault full of stuff that could take down half of Hollywood that he hasn't released.
Yeah.
And so people are saying this is one of those things in that vault because Harvey Levin is so tight with Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
Aubrey, so that's
the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, how many times do you guys shower in a week?
In a week?
Yeah. Well, let's say. All right.
Yeah.
More one day counting a week. Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah, let's count Saturday and Sunday.
For this, okay. Yes. Sure. Yeah.
Like 12 times. Like twice a day.
12 times. You're twice too, a day. You're too, you're doing too much.
Yeah.
So we've read so many of these studies before because there is a really strong consensus among dermatologists that you do not need to shower every day. In fact, it's better for your skin if we don't. We all know that. However, 3/4 of people do shower every day. According to a new survey, 49% of people shower once a day. 20% almost every day.
Oh.
6%, Maury, more than one a day.
Yeah.
18% of people shower 2 to 3 times a week.
A week?
Yeah.
Those are those, like, you know, people that work from home.
No. Those are people who you called. It's nasty.
You think somebody who showers 3 times a week is nasty?
Maybe not nasty.
Like,
maybe
if you're not
like,
leaving the house, you don't need to shower.
No, but what about why can't you go and live in the world having only showered 3 times a week? How dirty are you getting? Like, if you change your drawers, right? Uh-huh, yeah. Brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Make sure your butt's clean.
Okay, fine.
Okay?
I thought you meant, like, not doing anything.
No, like, brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Right? Brush your teeth, clip your fingernails.
Even still.
Comb your hair.
I just get weirded out, even just thinking about it. I can't go.
I don't own a comb. I've never combed my hair.
You've never once combed your hair?
No, I wash and go.
Wow. Oh, yeah. It shows.
We can tell.
Okay. The 3% of people only take a shower one time a week.
Wow.
And then there's 1% of people surveyed, and I don't know who would answer this question.
But?
1% of people take a shower once a month.
Ah!
Nasty!
Dirty!
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix? Roz and Mocha got you.
Yo, Chaz, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
All right, so Roz and Mocha's FML. Jeez. Let's get right to it. Chaz writes in and says, I cheated on my ex-girlfriend, but I want her back because she doesn't want anything to do with me. So, Chaz, first of all, your ex-girlfriend is right to not want to have anything to do with you.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Okay, hold on here. Let's get to the degrees of cheating. First of all, why did you cheat?
So, again, it was more emotional cheating than it was actually cheating.
So you cheated like a girl?
Yeah.
How long were you in this relationship with this girl up until the point that you started to cheat emotionally?
Like 7-8 years.
Wow, 7 or 8 years.
Do you guys have kids together?
No. I'm 21, so I dated her like when I was like 13, 14.
Okay, so hold on here. When did you cheat and when did she dump you? How long ago was this now?
So the cheating took place in the summer of 2017.
Yeah. Okay.
And then after we tried making it work,
uh-huh.
And then I ended it in January because I felt like it was a toxic relationship. We needed space from each other. So then about like 3 months, 4 months later, I see her at this event or party, and she's with another dude. And then I do a whole bunch of went down, and then, yeah, now I'm here.
What do you mean a whole bunch of stuff went down? Like, you fought the guy that she was with?
Well, no, I didn't fight him, but I approached him, and...
Oh, God. Chaz, okay. Listen, you got to move on with your life, bro. First of all, why did you decide to cheat, even if it was emotional? And define to us, to Roz and I and everybody listening right now, what the cheating was.
So, it was a coworker, and I just spent more time... I did with my coworker than I did with my girlfriend.
And so when you, so the cheating part of it, like, did you make out with her? Or did you guys go all the way?
No. We didn't do anything.
Oh.
Now, was the other girl into you though?
Yeah, she was. And I knew that, but.
Hold on. So where's the cheating?
So I spent more time with my coworker.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Than I did with my girlfriend.
Yeah, on purpose and not for work things.
Yeah, exactly.
But you didn't cheat.
No, I didn't.
I don't know. I still see.
No. I get it. They call it an emotional affair.
Yeah,
I get all this. But hold on a second here. Hold on. First of all, you're not going to get the girl back. And my take on all of this before we get to why people cheat is that I don't know if you actually want this woman back. I think that you feel incredibly guilty and you want to alleviate that guilt, and her forgiving you will alleviate that guilt. I think that that's what you're chasing as opposed to chasing this woman.
So it's been like a year and a half since I cheated, and then she forgave me and everything was good. It just, dude, like, I wanted to spend my life with this girl.
Okay, but hold on here. I got to go back to the cheating part. So with this coworker, what were you doing? Like, you were telling her you were having an emotional affair, as they call it, and you would tell her stuff and confide in her things that you would not, or at that time were not, confiding in your girlfriend with. You'd talk about your relationship. Like, she was starting to become your person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, but you didn't make out with her?
No.
Okay.
And then how did the truth come out? Did your girlfriend find texts on your phone? Did the other girl contact your girlfriend? Did you fess up? How did everything come about?
So I ended up fessing up. I'd go out sometimes with my coworker and I wouldn't tell her. And I eventually started telling her that, okay, I've been spending time with this girl.
And did you tell her that you guys weren't physical?
Yeah, yeah.
She didn't believe you, though.
I think she did.
To me, after 8 years, like, it doesn't sound like you guys had a great relationship.
Yeah.
People cheat because they feel empty. People cheat because they're looking for something. Or people cheat out of a moment of wild lust. Or people cheat. Like, there's different reasons why people cheat. For you to go off and have this emotional affair without being physical with somebody, that happens when your relationship is in really, really not a good place. Okay.
And so
to try and get back and build something that wasn't great when it ended, to me seems a little pointless. Cut your losses, man. She did.
She did.
Yeah, and she moved on, bro. She don't want you.
She don't want me.
Life ain't easy, man. Life ain't easy.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Here's the thing that I know, Shaz. I know that you weren't feeling the relationship that you were in for 7-8 years. You wanted to see if this new girl could be potential relationship type. And hopefully if things worked out in that aspect, you would have broke off with your current girlfriend. Correct?
Yeah, you spot on.
Yeah, of course, dude.
You're trash, bro. Listen, you are trash. You can't be doing that to the girl. Listen, if you're not into the relationship, you end it. Save everybody's feelings. Yeah. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah, you feel guilty, bro, and you want her to alleviate that guilt.
Yeah, she's not going to take you back.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. You got that's a you problem, man, not a her problem.
Yeah.
You got to deal with this by your own.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, dude.
Work it out, bro. New year, new you.
New year, new me.
There you go. Get a haircut or something.
I did. I got a haircut. I shaved my beard, man.
Yeah, still don't work.
All right, dude.
Still don't
work. Take it easy, man. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, you too. Love the show.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life, only on Kiss.
One of my favorite accounts to follow on Twitter is @KidsWriteJokes.
Owner
of this account legit just accepts any jokes from any kid and will post them on the Twitter feed. And they are terrible, terrible jokes because kids are terrible at writing jokes.
Yeah.
And the person who runs this account will include all the spelling and grammatical errors as well because kids suck at grammar and spelling as well. So here are a bunch that I found.
Oh, no.
Absolutely hilarious. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Kids write jokes. What did the rude man say to the digger?
What?
Hurry up!
Exactly.
Why are short people so small?
Why?
Because they don't sleep a lot. When will the Leaning Tower of Pisa fall down?
Why?
I don't know.
Oh.
What do you get when you walk into a bar?
What do you get when you walk into a bar? I don't know.
Drunk men.
Right. Wow.
What is...
That's life. That's not a joke. That's life.
What is a cow with no tail?
I don't know.
A geek. What do you call a unicorn that goes to work?
What?
A wimp. What's worse than finding a worm in your apple?
What?
Just a worm without the apple. Waiter, waiter, my coffee has dirt in it. Hi, sir. Yes, I found it on the floor.
I know that. Pause for 1 second. Okay, first of all, what? These kids are so dumb. Let me correct that one kid, okay?
Because
that's an actual joke. Okay, what's worse than finding a worm in the apple?
Okay.
The punchline for that joke is finding half a worm.
Oh, see, right? That's even funnier.
Not just a worm.
Okay, let's continue. I have a few more here.
Yeah, sure.
Kids write jokes, okay?
Yeah.
Why is the singer called Pink?
Why?
She did not know any other color that day.
Oh.
What's the difference between a man and a poo? Because kids find poo funny, right?
Yeah.
What's the difference between a man and a poo?
What?
Nothing.
Right.
Why do monkeys eat bananas?
Why?
Because bananas are made from monkeys.
Right.
Who lives on Silver Island?
No idea.
Rich people.
Thank you.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Chicken butt.
Chicken butt who?
Chickens galore through the keyhole. I don't know what that even means. And finally, kids write jokes, right?
Yeah, what did
one wasp say to the other wasp?
What?
What's up?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
12 years ago. God, this is a weird number to read, man, because it feels like they've just been in our lives forever. But 12 years ago in 2007, Steve Jobs on this day unveiled the iPhone.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah, 12 years ago.
12 years?
Isn't that crazy?
I've had an iPhone forever.
No, you haven't.
Yeah. Oh, wait. No, I didn't.
And I didn't even have like the iPhone 1, 2, or 3.
No, me neither. I think my first iPhone, because I was like BlackBerry for life, as everybody was.
No, I was like ride or die with BlackBerry.
Yeah, of course. And then And then the iPhone wave just completely took over. I think my first iPhone was maybe the 4.
Yeah, mine too.
I think it was the 4.
Because I fought. Like, I fought. I was just, I thought I was this real, I don't know. I thought that I could type better. It was more convenient. It was for more sure. everything. Like, just the BlackBerry to me was just this far superior product.
And you look super cool with it on your belt.
That's the other thing. I still have my holster.
Do you really?
I sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all used to wear them. That's the weird thing too with these phones is that we all wore them and had no problem.
Big one.
You would go to a wedding and people would be like, dude, let me see that case.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd be like, look at this.
Yeah.
It clips right out of my belt.
Oh. And you'd flip it. It was like a gun holster. You'd flip that little magnet thing up. Bam, bam. And like, you could just get it. And if you really wanted to be like, you know, super cool, you'd put it right in the back.
Yeah.
Like right over your butt. So nobody could see it. And then you just sort of reach around. Like, it always felt like you had some sort of, like, it was a weapon, right? Like, it was, you were a
superhero.
Like you, yeah, it was just like you had it. And then for some reason, when we all got iPhones, we started hiding them.
Well, yeah, because they're expensive as hell.
But the BlackBerry was expensive. Everything was expensive. Everything was expensive. It was all relative. Everything was expensive. But for some reason, we started hiding them away.
I think because the iPhone is a touch screen, whereas the BlackBerry originally wasn't. It had the daisy wheel.
But I don't even remember getting an iPhone where I was like, can I get a holster for this? Like, you just didn't do it.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I just slid it into my back pocket.
Yeah, I noticed something else too, which is why I've realized that we've become far more, I guess, narcissistic in a real big way. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what to do right
it's
now.
It's coming from you.
Yeah, I know, right? Right?
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what to do right now. You want to see the evolution of narcissism?
Okay.
Do this. Go on Facebook and click on somebody's pictures.
Yeah.
Scroll all the way down to when they first started posting pictures.
Oh, God. Okay.
And you're going to see on Facebook, people used to post pictures of their friends. People used to post pictures of other people that they know. People used to post pictures of other people they knew that were hotter than them. And then go to Instagram of that same person.
Oh, it's like Selfie City.
Selfie City. There's not one other person. Would you post a picture of somebody who is not you, but just a friend of yours on Instagram?
Never.
For what reason?
For them to steal my likes?
Right, but we used to do that all the time.
I guess.
All the time. Go to anybody's Facebook and go to when they first started posting pictures and look at their pictures. They're not in all of them. Some of them, it's just a group of friends that they're not even in.
Yeah.
Or a hot friend.
Look at my hot friend?
Could you imagine going on Instagram and seeing somebody post a single shot of their hot friend that they're not in that picture?
Oh, yeah, no.
No!
You know why? For fear that picture would get more likes than a picture of their selfie.
Exactly. But we didn't care back then. We didn't care. But go and look at the history of somebody's posting on social media.
Oh,
and then
man.
where they are now on Instagram.
That front camera changed everything.
Right?
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix? Roz and Mocha got you.
Hey, Alexandria.
Hello.
What's going on? How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good.
So you wrote us, Roz and Mocha Help, FML, Fix My Life. I'm a single mom to an amazing one-year-old boy. His father has not been around since he found out I was pregnant and is currently living with the woman he cheated on me with.
Wow.
She has no idea that we have a child, and his father wants nothing to do with him, saying he was never part of a conversation about whether he wanted him or not. My question is, how do I approach a conversation with my son when he is of age to understand and ask not only why his father isn't around, but why his father's family isn't either? Please help fix my life. So how old is your boy now?
He is about to turn 16 months old.
Oh, okay, so you got some,
I have time, I do. It's just stressful. Like, it just makes me constantly wonder, like, how's he going to feel? Because I'm also, I don't really have a strong relationship with my father, and I know how it affects me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just worry how it's going to affect him, because I know it's going to. I know there's going to be questions.
At what point in your life, Alexandria, did you have a conversation about why your dad isn't in your life?
It's kind of a different situation. My father and I stopped talking when I was 16.
Oh, okay.
And so I was old enough to know why, because it was like, it was like a disagreement with the woman that he's with now. So it's a lot different than the situation with my son. Like, my son's never going to have his father in his life as of right now.
So there's a couple things here. One, life can change. You can get married. You know what I mean? Like, you may fall in love. Your life may change drastically over the course of the next couple of years. You don't know that. So there may be some sort of father figure in the kid's life. Oftentimes, I know that when people do bail on their kids and their families for whatever reason, it does eat at people. And they do regret their decisions and they do want to get back involved in their kid's life. I don't know how you feel about that, but something like that could change. Now, if none of that changes, and you have a kid that wants to know why their dad didn't want them. And I will say this, I have not been in this situation, but I have people close in my life who have been in this situation. And my one thing that I would say for you is don't wait for the kid to bring it up. You need to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And 100%, because if it's ignored, ignoring it leads to shame.
Yeah, and I don't ever want to push my feelings of his father towards him.
No, you have feelings. You have feelings, and that's fine, okay? It was devastating for you. Your kid will appreciate you telling them when they're old enough, and as their age keeps going and going and going, give them more and more information. Talk about him. That's what they want. We as people have this thing in us where we want to identify with the people that made us. And for most of us, it is a mother and a father. That's how life sort of works,
right?
We're all
curious.
That's why people who are adopted and they grew up in the greatest families ever that adopted them still have this need.
The question of who
to go to go and find,
because it's that question that they have to answer of who am I,
right?
Where did I come from, right? You could
talk about him. They're going to want to know, right? They're going to want to know what kind of person he was. And honestly, when the conversation does come up to why did they leave, because that's going to be one of the biggest questions in your kid's life. Why did they leave? Your answer at that point could be something as simple as, I wish I knew.
That's true.
Yeah. Right?
I guess it's a lot less simple than thinking so much into it, right?
Overthinking? Yeah. Alexandria, do you still talk to your now ex, or does he still try to contact you or anything like that?
I have zero contact with him. Sure. When he found out that I was pregnant and that my son was his, he kind of just dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
But I think you need to talk about him. And don't sugarcoat information. Right? Like, you be honesty with your kid is the only thing that you need to be throughout this entire process, because this, as I'm sure you know, is not going to be one conversation. This is going to be many conversations over your life.
Years and years, for sure.
With your kid. Damn it, Maury, your mom.
She left when I was two.
Yeah, Maury's mom left when Maury was two.
Okay.
And how did your dad handle that conversation?
There was none. And it's so funny you said that, because I didn't really find out about who my mom was until I was in my 30s.
Right.
And it would have been amazingly different had I have known from the get-go.
Wait, so what did your dad, Frank, say to you?
No, it wasn't my dad. No,
what, growing up, if you were to ask about your biological mother, what would Frank say?
He would change the subject or just say, she's not around. You know what I mean? Like, it was as though what Roz was saying, like an ashamed thing, kind of, you know? And
that's what worried me. I never want him to feel like he's not good enough. You know, I don't want him to ever feel like his father is a bad person, because his father isn't. And it just worries me, because,
he's
a boy too. Like, he's not going to have his father. And I know how that could be for guys. Like, it's hard.
It's tough. It's not a good, I'll tell you, it's not an ideal situation.
Yeah.
Anybody will tell you that it's not an ideal situation. And you know that. But I think that what Maury had said was, you know, it devastated his dad as well. And this is devastating for you. This isn't something that you need to pretend like you're over or it doesn't matter to you. Like, these conversations that you're going to have with your son, you know, he will feel better knowing that it also affected you. He's not in this alone.
That's great. Thank you so much. I mean, it's just good to know that. Don't think too much into it and just kind of casually talk about him.
But be honest, too.
Yeah, Mocha's right. Just be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. Love you lots.
Bye.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life, only on Kiss.
When would you say that you learned about money and finances to the point where you understood how long debt actually takes to pay off, when you finally understood what an 18% credit card looks like at the end of a month.
I'll tell you exactly when.
When was that? How old were you? When did it hit you?
22.
At 22?
22, when I moved out of my parents' place and I was living on my own, was when I realized that things cost money and how much those things actually cost.
Right.
When you have to survive on your own.
It always bothered me that they don't teach financial literacy in schools.
I wish they did.
Enough. And I don't mean in university or college. I mean, like, you got to start young. You have to teach people young about this stuff.
You know what I wish I did? Now, like, thinking back, because my dad's an accountant.
Yeah.
And he used to always try to teach me about finances when I was younger.
You had that in your house. You had access to it.
Every single day. And he would always kind of preach. I'm like, whatever, I'll figure it out later. And looking back now, I really, really do wish that I listened to my dad.
Yeah.
Back when I was in high school trying to figure all that stuff
out. Let me go through this here, because they did a survey and they asked people things that they would rather do than to actually sit and have tough financial conversations or spend time really working on their budget and planning. 34% of people said that they would gladly sit in traffic for an hour.
Yep.
Good morning, Maury. 34% of people said that they would rather post an embarrassing photo of themselves on social media.
Sure. Take a look.
You do every day.
27% said they would rather get stung by a bee.
Yep.
Wow.
Pain goes away.
20% of people said that they would spend an hour in jail.
Sure.
Wow, really?
Because then I don't have to have that conversation.
But an hour in jail? Jail's not fun, bro.
It's only an hour.
A lot can happen in an hour.
Speaking of a lot happening in an hour, 16% of people said that they would rather sit through, I don't even know how to word this right now, a movie that may be on VHS.
What's a VHS?
Starring your parents. And they use the word intense.
Oh, God.
Okay, 16% of people said that they would sit through that. Maury?
No, I'm going to have the conversation now. I found the line. I found the line.
So, you would rather spend an hour in jail over watching that?
Are you? No way am I ever going to watch that. That will scar you for life.
Wow.
Jail, though, man. Watch some of them documentaries.
Look at all my finances. I ain't watching that tape. No way.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Explain to me this. What is the premium plan for Netflix?
That is when you, I believe, get up to 5 devices.
Oh, I gotcha.
You also get access to 4K content.
And Prime, right? It includes Prime?
No, Prime is Amazon.
That's Amazon.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. That's a whole extra cost per month.
Yeah.
No, because the notice popped up last night because they finally said the date that your Netflix is going to go up.
I could have sworn just started paying new money like recently.
No, Feb 9.
Oh, is this the third time that they've raised the prices?
I think so, yeah. So most people right now pay $9.99 and then the standard plan is going to go from $9.99 to $13.99. And then for that premium plan, it's going to go to $16.99. And $16.99 equals roughly what, Maury? A year.
Why don't we just say 17?
No, $16.99.
And that's times 12.
Excuse me?
Because 12 months a year.
Okay.
Here's a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You don't have to write on the desk. Somebody got to clean that after. Come on, man.
It's like school, yo. $16.99.
Yeah.
By the way, while you are trying to figure that out, I read yesterday, Roz, that Netflix wants to open up a major film and TV studio in Toronto.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
I love that idea.
I could finally get the Dammits off the ground that I've been trying to turn into a television show for years.
Oh, damn.
Dammit Maureen, his husband, Dammit Matthew.
Okay, back to math.
Where I could take all the money. I can executive produce the hell out of that. Make them famous and make me rich.
Okay, I have 3 months.
You have, excuse me, oh God, 3 months.
3 months.
Are you going month by month?
Is there any other way?
Yes.
Okay, six. How are you doing 70. It? Explain how you're trying to find out what $16.99 is over the course of a year.
16 plus 16 plus 16 plus 16 plus 16, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, minus, and then you minus the point in the thing.
What are you minusing
pennies?
And then you put the thing.
You sound like Porky Pig over there. Kind of talks.
Just one fart.
One. And then you minus, minus, minus,
12. God, did you just fart when you left?
And then you
freaking stinks in here now, man.
One, two, three, four, five. Okay, 5 months. What, do you want to just say half a year?
No.
Is 5 months half a year?
No, do one more.
Do one more.
Is Netflix only going to charge me 5 months?
11.
Yeah, 5 months. Do half a year, 5 months more.
$210 for half a year.
$210 for half a year.
0.99. 210. I'll just throw in a 99. 210.99. Yes or no? Resold?
No. Oh. No, hard no.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
We got freezing rain yesterday in my neighborhood. Almost slipped and fell on my ass on the driveway.
No, did you?
Yeah, I went to get the recycling bins and that were tipped over after I left them so nicely out in the city of Vaughn. I don't know what's going on out there, but...
Yeah.
I package my recycling very nice. I find that I'm very courteous when it comes to leaving garbage and recycling out.
Yeah.
And they legit treat my bins like trash.
Yeah, my bin's broken.
Is it?
My lid isn't attached.
And I've now become one of those crazy guys in the neighborhood because I'm home early enough that I know the schedule for when they show up.
Yeah.
And I will either go upstairs to the bedroom
and just
when I hear the truck go by. And I'll...
Like Norman Bates?
Yeah, exactly like that. And I'll look through the window, or I'll stand right at the...
Mother, garbage is here.
At the living room window, and peer through. And I'll be looking, and I'll be like, okay, he's picking up the garbage, all right. I put the lid on the bin really nice. Okay, he tosses that on the grass, and he takes the bin and throws it on the street. Or sometimes...
Mother... The boys are mistreating your bin.
Or sometimes I'll pack the recycling so nice.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, an empty plastic container will fall out of the bin as a gentleman is putting the bin into the truck.
That happens.
And it will fall and hit the street right at his feet. And he won't bend down to pick it up to put it into the truck. He'll leave it there.
Mother, the boy's not bending.
And then they'll leave. And then I got to go outside. Almost fall on my ass, picking up an empty yogurt container on the street to put back in the recycling bin.
And you got to wait for 2 weeks.
And then I got to wait.
Yeah. Tough life, though, huh? Like.
First world problems. It's like, real.
That's, Jesus, man. How are you even here today?
So that was 10 minutes out of my day yesterday.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
How you feeling, dude?
Whatever. It's a cold. It's a stupid cold.
Everybody in your house has it?
I expect no sympathy. Rock sort of has it. Catherine had it real bad for a while. Like, real bad.
Everyone in my house, everyone. I live with two other people. my wife has been sick for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And my son for about a week. And miraculously, I have managed to not contract anything whatsoever.
Really, huh?
Yeah.
My husband's so paranoid, he sleeps with a winter hat on and bought a room heater yesterday.
No, he doesn't.
I swear.
A winter hat.
The one with the flaps. The one with the flaps on the side.
No, I don't believe you.
Why that? I understand sleeping in like a surgical mask.
No, but he says his head gets cold and he's worried about getting sick, so he sleeps with that really big winter hat.
What, is his head soaking wet when he goes to bed?
Why would it be? Because of the sweat?
No, like...
Because he's worried about the cold coming in from the windows still. So he also bought one of those...
Why? Do you sleep with your windows open?
No, it just comes through. Like, there's like, it's... There's
terrible windows. Terrible.
So then he bought one of those $500 heaters, too, for the room.
Don't you have heat in the condo?
Yeah, but it doesn't go to the bedroom, apparently.
You don't have heat in your bedroom.
There's a vent.
What kind of a shack are you living in?
There's a vent. Like, the living room is hot. Yeah. Everywhere else is hot. But then you walk into the bedroom and it's freezing cold.
Wait, where's the vent, ghost? Though?
What's that?
I would think I'm a ghost.
Yeah, I should mention
this. You walk
this.
Into one room in your house and it's freezing cold, that's
paranormal
a
paranormal activity right there.
Yeah.
Where is the vent in the bedroom, though?
Above the bed.
Above the bed?
Well, like on one of those, what do you call them, duct things.
It sounds like your place is made out of Play-Doh. Or cardboard boxes.
But now we have a room heater and winter
hat. Is it at least like a sexy hat or no?
Well, I mean, he's wearing my hat, so it's like he's wearing my Letterman jacket, so it's kind of hot.
So he goes to bed dressed like you when you're cold?
That is so...
so hot. That's so hot.
Oh my God, you please have to take a picture.
Weird, dude. So weird. You guys are so weird.
Anyway, stay warm today.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catherine Reitman is here from Working Moms. Good morning and hello.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having
me. How are you?
I'm good. I'm awake.
Yeah?
So new season, double premiere tonight.
Yes.
9 o'clock on CBC.
Correct, sir.
My wife and I discovered this show one season too late. And we went on demand, Rogers on demand, and watched every single episode. And this is a show that we watch every week now.
Oh,
it's
right
our favorite
on,
show.
Right
for
on.
Real.
Thank you.
We love the show. And it's funny because over the summertime, my wife was like, can you find out when the new season of Working Moms is coming back?
Thank you so much.
I'll tell you why I love it, first
tell
of
me.
All. Because of the different characters are all in kind of in the same point in their lives, but dealing with different things with having kids. And my wife and I, we have a 1.5-year-old at home right now.
Oh my God. How do you look so good?
So
to the listener, he looks very fresh for having a 1.5-year-old at home.
All I did was I brushed my beard this morning. That's it.
A beard brushing goes a long way. I do it every morning.
But do you find that like people are attracted to the show for these different reasons because of the different points in their
lives? Totally. You know what I get the most? I get the most that this sort of identity crisis happens in your 30s, particularly when you have children. And so I actually get from both men and women that like there's not a lot of conversation about once you have children that you're all of a sudden expected to be this new person that isn't necessarily natural right. to you.
Yeah.
Do you find that when you work so much, first of all, people, when you work the hours that you work and you work as often as you do, what I find is that people will tell you that you look tired because they think that they're trying to bond with you.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's
my
great,
mom
right?
Does that. My mom
yeah.
did that last night. She's like, you look tired. I'm like, go home.
Yeah. Shut up already.
I'll call you in a week.
Yeah, that's right.
But when you do, when you were so involved in this show from every aspect of this show and you have two little kids, you want to work that hard. Because you want them to have everything and you also want purpose and you want to feel fulfilled. But do you ever struggle with the fact that maybe by the end of it all, they may feel like they got ripped off because
every
you're not there?
Every single morning. Every single morning, every single night.
Yeah.
Right now I'm thinking, is this worth it? I could be having breakfast with them. I should be with them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the constant guilt, the nagging of the working mother. But by the way, when I'm home with them, I have a different nag, which is, why aren't I pursuing my dreams? God, there's so much to me. Why aren't I the girl that I was in university anymore?
Yeah.
I should be. There's never a satiating moment for a parent, whether you're stay at home or working. And the judgment that comes along with that makes it really hard just to be present and happy.
But the kid judgment too, because I do 13.5 hours a day. And I see my kid 90 minutes a day. That includes homework time and dinner time and everything else, which is not a lot. And I'll find myself sitting there and you think that you're spending time with them. And then my kid will just reach over and take my phone out of my hand.
Brutal.
Right?
Yeah, been there.
Right?
All the time. It's hard to turn off. It's really hard to...
You're like, what the hell am I doing?
Who am I?
Who am I?
I'm like
a monster.
The Lion King looking into the water. Waiting for Rafiki to be like,
right?
Drop the phone. Totally.
Right? The momentum of this show is fantastic. People,
oh, thank you.
And you heard, you started to hear it. Like, it came out, it debuted, and then and slowly, you started to hear everybody being like, Are you watching?
Oh, that's nice. Thanks.
Right? So how are people now... when is this? So the show is on how many nights?
Thursdays at 9.
Thursdays
on
at
CBC.
9. And the great thing about a show like this is that when you discover it, say on season 3, I love discovering brand new shows that have a back catalog because you feel fantastic. You're like,
yes.
Oh my God, now I can go back and watch
worth
all the episodes.
Totally.
Worth the investment.
Fully.
Right.
Well, and we have some exciting news.
Which is what?
So if you are new to the show, not only can you catch it on CBC Gem, but we have some monster news that I literally have not said aloud until right now.
Oh, okay.
We are going to be on Netflix. We are currently on Netflix Canada, and
we will be
a Netflix original in the United States, along with
nice.
The rest of the world.
Are you kidding?
That is huge. That's amazing.
Oh,
congratulations.
My God.
Thank you. I'll take it.
You have to know that's life-changing.
It is, and we've, you know, the fans have been extraordinary, because I get you know, tweets and grams and everything from people in America being like, this show sounds like my kind of show.
Yes.
How come I can't see it? And for so long, I've, you know, during negotiations had to keep quiet. And I'm so excited to finally be able to shout.
Oh my God, that's great. I think everyone needs to watch this show, Working Moms. And one thing before we let you go, Catherine Reitman, is that your husband on the show in real life is your husband.
Correct.
Without spoiling anything.
Yeah.
He's not really my favorite guy on the show.
No, Toronto is spitting in his eggs a lot right
now. Yeah. So does that, like, how do you?
The irony is he's the greatest guy. Like, literally.
But so why you gotta play him like that?
No, but like, do you ever get?
Because I understand story structure, guys.
Do you ever get mad at him in real life for things because of his character on the show?
If only. Like, I'm too busy being mad at him in real life for being my husband. I mean, we're still a working married couple that gets angry at each other. And imagine, not only do you have children together, but you work together witness each other's failures all day.
Two episodes back to back, CBC 9 o'clock, Working Moms, Catherine Reitman. Thank you so much for joining us on the Roz and Mocha Show.
Also Netflix.
Netflix.
What?
That's big news.
Do you have one of those air horns?
Oh, Netflix.
That was the greatest moment of my morning. Thank you.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Happy New Year, Reese.
Hey, Happy New Year. It's Mocha and the smoothest, coolest dude of all Roz.
Thanks. You know.
Damn, son.
Why you gotta roast me like that?
Shoot, we are still fresh in 2019.
Yeah. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I just wanted to tell you something, Mocha.
What's up?
I heard you on the podcast once when you said you played Fortnite once.
Yeah.
And the kids are just mean.
Yeah, very.
I get bullied for my voice.
Why would you get bullied for your voice?
Yeah, because I sound like a 2-year-old to everybody else.
No, you don't. You sound like a pixie.
That's even worse.
How tall are you? 6 inches?
No, I'm 4'7".
Okay. 4'7".
That's little.
That's little.
Yo, you're taller than Maury.
Yeah. I'm 10 years old.
All right. No. Thanks, Reese. Happy New Year.
We always, hey, Reese, listen, this is a place where it's, you come to get roast and roasted, okay?
Okay.
All right, buddy.
It's also a safe zone.
It's a safe zone. That's what I mean, right? You come here, you roast me, I'm going to, okay, never mind.
Okay. Reese don't care. No. Yeah, what's up?
I'll play Fortnite with you sometime.
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. Okay, bye, Reese.
Bye.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So I watched a ton of Netflix over the holidays.
Oh, same.
And I got caught up on a lot of stuff. The new season of Lemony Snicket was just out of control good.
Oh, I haven't got to that yet.
It was so good. And then we started getting down to the bottom of the well on Netflix, and the big sort of banner for You showed up, this new show called You.
Did you watch the whole thing?
No.
Okay. Do you know how it ends? Tell me.
Okay. I'm going to play you exactly how far into You that we got.
Okay. Because we're on we just finished episode 7. So we still have 8, 9, and 10 to go.
Okay. So let me get this straight. You can correct me. Okay.
Yeah.
Is the show about some obsessive stalker?
Yes.
Okay. I have no interest in watching that. Well, I do because I really don't care as much. I understand that it's a show. I can't watch that in the house with Catherine because Catherine has no interest in watching somebody stalk a woman. That's not entertaining for her, regardless of the circumstances or how good of a show it is.
Okay.
It's just not entertaining.
I'm not saying it's a good show.
So we put it on and I explained to her, I'm like, what if it is just like, what if it happens to just be a good show? Like it's dark and it, like we can get into that. And she's like, yeah, okay. So we put it on. And we got 20 seconds into it with this voiceover, with the guy's voice, where she got up off the couch, leaned forward, and just shut the television off. So this is as far into You as we got.
Well, hello there. Who are you? Based on your vibe, student. Your blouse is loose. You're not here to be ogled, but those bracelets, they jangle. You like a little attention. Okay. I bite. You search the books, fiction, F through K. Now, you're not the standard insecure nymph hunting for Faulkner. You'll never finish. Too Sun-Kissed for Stephen King. Will you buy?
Sorry.
You sound apologetic, like you're embarrassed to be a good girl, and you murmur your first word to me.
Hello. Do you work here?
Guilty.
Okay. It was at that point Catherine was like, no! Absolutely not. I can't listen to this guy's voice while he stalks this girl. That voice is just way too much. It's over the top. It's creepy. There's no point to this show, and it will never exist in my world. So feel free to watch you and tell me how it is, because if it changes and becomes something other than this horrific voice and this guy stalking this girl, then maybe I'm interested in it. If it is nothing more than that, absolutely not.
Newer version of Dexter.
Really?
Yeah, it's very Dexter-ish. And if you watch the show, you know why I say that.
Does he kill people? Like he gets revenge on people? Does the stalker kill stalkers?
He kills people?
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
He does. He does kill people.
Is he a good guy?
No.
Oh.
That's the thing. He's not a good guy.
But is it this voiceover the whole time?
It's the voiceover.
Does he talk
the
like that the whole
time?
No, I can't do that.
I'll tell you where it gets annoying. I'll tell you where it gets annoying.
Yeah.
When he's having a conversation with people, he'll say a word, but then after immediately he'll say it in his mind, hence the voiceover.
Oh, yeah.
That part gets really annoying.
No,
my wife loves the show.
Really,
though.
Huh?
I'll tell you, ladies be loving this show.
I don't know.
And I watch it because I know my wife loves it.
Really?
And
I mean, maybe I'm wrong. If you can convince me, you or anybody else, you want to convince me to watch this show?
Oh, absolutely not. No, don't watch it.
Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead. I'm open for business, but I can't do the voice. I can't do that voiceover, and I can't listen to some guy talk like that while he stalks somebody.
The show was already renewed for a second season.
I can't do that.
For Netflix.
It
was supposed to be on Lifetime. Season 2 got renewed on Lifetime.
Really?
And then Netflix was like, nah, this belongs to us.
Really?
Yeah.
So people are loving this?
They are loving it.
Oh, God. Yeah,
but don't watch. It's not that good.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Hey, it's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey, so I want to convince Roz to watch you.
Okay, what is your name?
Anissa,
did you finish watching the entire series on Netflix?
I did.
Okay. I assume you love the show.
I do. So, I don't know, is it just the voice that Roz finds annoying?
No, I find this show annoying the same way that I found 13 Reasons Why annoying.
It wasn't
a good show because it was geared towards young teens, and it was a show about revenge suicide, and that I'll show them, you know, they'll really, you know, they'll hate it when I'm gone and I'll get my revenge. It was terrible. The entire premise of that show was just so far off any world that you should be making a show about. It was so insulting. And with this show, I can't find stalking sexy or charming. Like, I'm not that guy.
Wait.
Like, I can't even suspend my disbelief enough.
Anissa, you didn't find the show, like, sexy and, like, sweet and stuff.
No.
Right?
I don't know. At parts, I might sound crazy for saying this, but I kind of found it funny seeing the way that he thinks with the voiceover. No, I don't know if you don't know, but he was actually one of the main characters on Gossip Girl, Dan. So, like, I've kind of gotten used to the voice because I've seen Gossip Girl. But I don't know. I guess I just kind of thought maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
I can't normalize this stuff. Like, I don't know. It's not sexy. Like, it's not cool.
Well,
it's not.
I don't want to spoil it for anyone who's listening, right? But I mean.
Wait. Anissa, so my wife and I watch the show.
No, I'm not going to say anything.
And we're only on like episode 8. But we're going to watch episode 8, 9, and 10 tonight. So don't, whatever you say, better not ruin the end of the show.
I got to be careful what I say here. Well, then Mocha, you obviously know that they end up dating.
Oh! Right?
Well, yeah.
Can I spoil it?
Oh.
No,
don't spoil it.
No, okay. Anyway, you've said too much.
No, well, I mean, then it kind of gets into, I guess you got... Just give it a chance.
No. Anissa, hey, if you're a big fan of the show, you'll be happy to know that they have started production on season 2.
Yay.
Yeah, they actually started production back in, like, November.
Are you going to finish it? Are you planning on finishing it?
Oh, yeah. No, my wife loves the show. Yeah, we'll finish it. I like watching shows with her. Even if I'm not, like, the biggest fan, and if I know she is, I will still sit there and watch a show or a series because I know she likes it.
Yeah.
You're a better man than my husband.
Oh, wow, damn.
Hello.
What you doing, lady girl?
I hope he's not listening right now because he's got my kids to school, so.
Don't worry, he knows.
Oh! Thanks, Anissa. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye.
Hi, it's Ron Zamoka. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. Welcome back.
Thank you. What's your name?
Valerie.
What's up, Valerie?
I just had a comment about the Netflix show You that you guys were just talking about.
Yeah.
We totally binged it over the holidays. We finished it last night.
Wow.
And I agree with you, Mocha. It's not good, but it's entertaining. And if you like yelling at the TV like I do, the voiceover is very convenient if you like to argue with fictional characters.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. And there's parts of the show that, I don't know, just for me at least, just very unrealistic.
Yes. Oh, completely.
Like, for example, and this isn't giving anything away, but the lead female character who lives in New York City, presumably on the ground floor, maybe I would... What, maybe second floor, Valerie? And
she has second floor, yeah.
No window covering, no shade, no curtains, nothing. So all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I guess 5 of her windows that face the street in New York are completely wide open. So when she's eating her breakfast, you can see. When she steps out of the shower in her towel, you could fully see. Right. When she climbs into bed, you could see. When she's sitting on her laptop on the couch, you can see.
Yeah, you can see absolutely everything that she's doing. And she doesn't hide it either. She's not even trying to.
Hey, our text is blowing up too with all women, Mackenzie, Madeline, they're all texting and saying that they've binged it and loved it.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't watch a stalker show. Yeah. I don't know.
You're probably better off not watching the show.
And who's that guy? Who plays that guy? What's his name? I don't like him.
Oh, Paige Bagley or
Paige
something like
Bagley?
That?
Paige Bagley? Yeah, I don't like that guy.
Yeah, he's kind of a weirdo.
Yeah. I mean, anyway. He's maybe a nice guy in real life, but he comes off like a real D, you know?
Yeah. Wow. All right, Valerie. Thanks so much.
All right.
Later.
Good morning. Bye, guys.
All right, later. The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast. First day back for all the kids at school.
Yay!
Yeah, you made it through the holidays, kids. Don't worry.
Of course.
School starts again. Thank God. You survived the holidays.
Now, do they treat it kind of like a slower day today?
Nah,
like,
they get right in. They slap them in the face as soon as they walk into class.
Yeah. Boom, 2019.
Yeah.
New year, new homework.
Yeah, and they just, you know, you take the opportunity to. I always used to love the first day back at school because you would sit and talk to all the other kids about what you got and all the stuff. And Maury and I did that this morning in the car. Right?
You went through your Christmas present?
Yeah. Right?
Wait, so who initiated the conversation? Who asked who? Like, hey, what'd you get for Christmas?
I actually don't remember because I just remember, like, it sort of happened organically, like it did when you were a kid, where you just be like, hey, what'd you get? Right?
Yeah.
Like, it was just that kind of thing. And so, Maury, we know you went to New York with your husband, Matthew, and you guys had a real wonderful time. And Maury's going through some of his stuff, and he mentions to me what his dad, Frank, got him.
Ooh.
And I kind of ended the conversation there because I don't know exactly how Maury felt about it or whether it was like a gift that he desperately needed and said and had on his wish list. Like, I didn't know any of this stuff. I just know what it was that he got. So I would like to share that gift with you now, and then we can kind of get into Maury's reaction for it. So, Maury, first of all, your dad, Frank, has been your dad for how long?
40 years.
40 years.
Yeah.
Knows you.
I have to think about it. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Your age, not his age.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, your dad, Frank, is how old?
63.
Okay. So knows you pretty well.
One would think.
Okay. So you're there, you're opening gifts, you're exchanging the whole thing. It's all wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. So your dad gives you a box, you open it.
Mm-hmm.
Inside that box was what?
A spice rack.
Right.
Regift. Was
you
that a regift?
Oh my God, you think, oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, regift, of course.
Did Frank regift that to you, do you think?
Oh, you think he regifted it to me?
Yes.
I think somebody at Frank's work
interesting.
Maybe gave him you a don't spice
give
you, rack.
You don't give your kid a coworker gift.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
No, you don't.
Or somebody gave your stepmom, Donna, the spice rack, and then your dad's probably thinking, what do we give Maury? And Donna was like, hey, guess what? I got this amazing spice rack.
Right.
I don't really need it. Let's give it to Maury.
You don't think they think that way, do you?
Okay, hold on here. So how do you feel about the spice rack? Was like, is this something that you guys wanted?
The only spice we ever use at home is Herbes de Provence on everything. Like, right. We don't have spices.
Is that because it sounds fancy or because you like the spice?
It sounds fancy.
Because it sounds fancy. So you don't use spice on anything?
No, like maybe a little bit of kosher salt or pepper.
Now, did the rest of the family all contribute? Like, were you sitting there and somebody was like, more of the peppers for me?
No? It was all in the box.
So what did you say when you opened the gift? What did you say to them?
Well, I sort of like tapped Matthew's foot because that's our signal for like, okay, play along.
Yeah. Right.
That's our international symbol. And I was just like, oh my God, this is fabulous.
Right. What's your secret code word when you want to leave somewhere that you don't want to be anymore?
Oh, muskrat.
Right.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
What did I want to talk to you about here? My head's all scattered. Give me a second. No.
Something wrong?
No, I read a headline and then I didn't want to read the story and I thought I would just do a live.
Okay.
Oh, more people will die this week than any other time of year.
This week? That's so sad.
So that's the headline.
Why? After the holidays blues?
I don't know. Apparently.
But you made it through the first part of the week, so that's good.
Well, I made it to Tuesday morning. Maury, you don't got to pump my tires that much. It was not that difficult.
We're 8 days into 2019, bro.
Yeah. Jeez.
8 days.
Just get to Friday and you can live.
So, yeah, I don't know why. So, apparently, more people die this week than any other week of the year. A study found that during the second week of January, about 40% more people die than any other weeks of the year.
Damn. That's so sad.
Well, you got to tell us why.
There's no reason why. But it's not like everybody dies of one thing this time of year.
But is it because people have just the flu? Die. Is it because we gained weight over the holidays?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Listen, don't say we. You.
Yeah.
Hey, I only had 3 servings of turkey at my dad's over the holidays.
3?
Wow. That's too many for me.
3 servings. But how often were you at your father's place?
No, it was like I went for seconds and then I went for thirds.
Oh, on the same night? Oh.
Yeah. Oh. He didn't make 3 turkeys.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, let me ask you a question about tipping. You want Maury just ran in the room. Hello, damn it, Maury.
Oh, I'm in all in for tipping.
Are you? You're not a big tipper.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, okay. I just don't know why I thought that for a second. I just seemed very excited. When it comes to tipping, so where do you draw the line on who you tip for the service they provide? So I'll give you an example.
Okay.
When you're in a bar.
Yes.
And somebody brings you a drink.
Yes.
Do you tip them?
If somebody brings you a drink versus getting the drink at the bar.
No, like somebody, you're sitting there, somebody brings you a drink and then you get the bill.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Of course you do. Yeah, okay. Yeah. What if you're on an airplane sitting there? Somebody brings you a drink.
Do I tip them?
Do you tip them?
No.
Do you tip the flight attendant?
No.
Why not?
I've never thought of it, to be honest with you.
Well, can I also?
I just figure that. It's part of the, well, maybe not, because you're still paying for the drink, right?
You're still paying for the drink.
But hold on, but on an airplane, you pour, because they hand you the little thing, you pour it yourself. They're not pouring it into the cup, right?
Nah, it depends on what airline.
Yeah. It's all different. But you know what? I've paid with a credit card, and there's never been like an option to tip.
Well, Frontier Airlines is now allowing that option to be implemented.
Really?
So now you have the option to tip flight attendants.
You know what? I would do it.
Would you?
Yeah, I would do it. Yes, I would do it.
Jeez. Not a chance.
If the option is there. Yeah.
No.
Listen, I'm still having to, if I didn't have to pay for the drink, if the drinks were completely free, right? Then
I would. Then maybe I would leave a tip if the drinks were free.
Yeah.
So you also pay money to be on that
plane.
No,
but you'd have to have cash on you to do that though, right?
No, because it's all machine.
No, but if they're bringing you...
Oh, yeah, then you need cash. You need to like slip them a little something on the way out.
Exactly. So I don't really carry cash on me or change or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's all debit or credit.
Yeah.
No, I can't. And not when you pay as much as you do for airline, like for the tickets to get on the plane. It doesn't make any sense. Like if you had to pay into the restaurant.
Yeah. Let me ask you this then.
By the way, we're talking about whether or not you should tip your flight attendant.
Sure. So by that, we'll go down that path, damn it, Maury. You pay a couple $100 to go see the Raptors or the Leafs. at Scotiabank Arena, right? Yeah, hundreds of dollars. Right. And you go to the bar and you buy a $16, $17 beer. Would you not tip the bartender then?
Yeah, I tip them there, yeah.
Yeah, but those tickets are pretty expensive. That's like two tickets for a Leaf game is like a...
It's a flight. That's
a flight to Montreal and home.
Yeah.
But I guess the difference is that when you're at the sporting event, you're paying for that experience. But when you're on the plane, you assume that...
Okay, I know. Here's the thing. It's an irrational sort of thing, which is just on principle alone, you feel that when you buy an overpriced airline ticket, you're somehow getting screwed.
And then on top of that, I have to pay for my sandwich?
Yes. It's a principle issue. Because
I remember back in the day, you'd get the food for free.
Right, because Maury's super old. I don't remember that. Do you?
No.
When if you flew at night, you'd get the meal?
A meal at night on a plane?
Maury, I remember when you could bring your own beer on planes.
Really?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Do you know who the actor Neil McDonough is? If I show you a picture, you might know.
Where's he from?
He was in Band of Brothers, Desperate Housewives. If you're a fan of Suits like I am, you'll know him as Sean Cahill. This guy.
Okay, funny. Never saw Band of Brothers. Never. Yeah. What did you tell me? Designing Women. What show did you say?
Desperate Housewives.
Oh, Desperate Housewives. No, I never watched Desperate Housewives. Come on.
So the reason why I bring his name up, it's not that you're necessarily supposed to know his name, but the story behind some of the roles that he takes and loses, and because he's super super religious, and he says
like Christian religious or a different religion?
Christian religious.
Okay.
He says his undying devotion to his wife, who's an ex-model, keep him from getting up close and personal with co-stars on screen, even if it costs him jobs and hefty paychecks to go along with them.
Wow.
He says, quote, "I won't kiss any other woman because these lips are meant for one woman."
Wow. Look at this, Maury. This is an actor who leaves money on the table because he refuses to kiss somebody on film.
You
want to
know?
That's unacceptable behavior.
You want to know how much?
What does he turn down? Yeah, show me. Tell me.
He's turned down a role.
Yeah.
With ABC.
Yeah.
In 2010 for the show Scoundrels for $1 million.
Yeah. He left $1 million on the table.
Because
he won't kiss another woman?
His character to kiss another woman. And he was like, nope, absolutely not.
Oh my God.
I ain't kissing nobody else.
Oh my God.
I almost had a role similar that ended up dead in the water. But I would have had to have ended up in bed with somebody.
Yeah, but you didn't tell Matthew about this.
No, and I was going to do it.
See, now that's acting.
Yes.
That's how you survive show business.
Really? Which show was it?
It was just like an independent gay film.
Yeah, it was a movie.
Like an actual, like, legit film.
So.
Wow.
So this guy, this actor, Neil McDonough, said that when he joined the cast of Desperate Housewives, he was the husband of one of the main characters. And he told the creator of the show, I'm sure you know, but I'm not going to kiss anybody.
Yeah.
And the show creator said, but this is Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
And he said, I know. And the creator then said, listen to this though, because the guy still got the job.
Yeah.
The creator then just said, all right, I'm just going to have to write better.
Wow.
And
wrote
around the fact that he won't kiss another actress.
Wow.
Regardless of the show or movie.
If I'm not mistaken, the way they then ended up writing that is he and his on-screen Desperate Housewives wife at the time were separating and fighting, and that's why
No intimacy between the two characters.
Yeah, they were fighting.
He left $1 million on the table because he wouldn't kiss another woman on screen.
Yeah, Neil McDonough.
You know what he sounds like to me?
Huh.
A guy who got busted cheating previously.
Oh!
It's true.
Maury's like, yeah?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
What's the matter? You look shook.
Yeah, I get distracted a lot.
What were you distracted about?
YouTube.
Oh. Yeah, I hear you. What tube did you go down?
Well, I saw the cover of a video that I wish I didn't see.
Because it's scary or?
So Bird Box on Netflix, the one big mystery is what did the monsters look like?
Oh, yeah.
The aliens.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Whatever. They were the entities.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And they never showed, spoiler alert, they right. never showed them at all.
Yeah.
And there's one point in the movie where you thought you were going to see them. And I guess maybe they filmed stuff featuring these creatures.
Yeah.
And they didn't include them. They chose not to include them in the movie. So then I saw this thing pop up on YouTube, and it said what the Bird Box creatures look like finally revealed. And I see this picture, and I'm like, ah, now it ruins the movie for me.
Yeah.
Do you want to see?
Yeah, I saw it already. They look like they look like babies.
Oh, why'd you have to say it? Spoiler alert.
Right? They look like babies.
Yeah, they just look like giant babies with their eyes closed and like wrinkly mouths, like old man mouths.
Yeah, they look like babies, which is the weird thing. Yeah. Like,
they look like babies
weird.
With old people mouths.
Yeah. Right? Like imagine a baby with a man mouth.
That's so right? weird.
Because baby mouths are very specific, but when you put like a man's mouth on a baby, it's
picture
weird.
Like, not just a regular man's mouth, like an 80-year-old.
Yeah.
That's
like a mouth that's seen better days.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a mouth that has smoked a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Slept outside more than it should.
Maybe didn't take care of their teeth.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe gingivitis.
It's a baby with a man mouth. It's interesting, though, because with that, there was... When people saw those things in Bird Box, they went nuts. That woman walked into a car that was on fire, everything else. Like, they go nuts and they just start killing themselves. It's mass hysteria everywhere. But there was the element of Bird Box where people who had already had mental illness or had been in treatment centers or whatever, they were fine.
They were immune to it.
They were immune to it, but they weren't immune. So I'm reading this thing, and so here's the what made sense to me. Okay. So whatever you saw that was terrifying, okay, and made you kill yourself, if you it basically made you see what the mentally ill always said that they saw, somebody dealing with those issues saw. That's why they were institutionalized. So when the mentally ill saw it, because if you remember, other people who saw it said that it was like this horrific thing that made you do horrific things.
Yeah.
When the mentally ill people saw it, they said it was beautiful.
Because so it was
reversed.
Right.
It had the reverse effect on the people who were mentally ill. And that's why they were the ones who were surviving, because they said that it was beautiful. But everybody else made you want to kill yourself. Because of the giant babies with man mouths.
Oh, gross. So gross.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix? Roz and Mocha got you.
Hi, Christine. What's going on?
Good. Not so much. How are you?
Doing great. First of all, we want to start with your age. How old are you, Christine?
25.
Okay, 25. Because this would change the way we may be able to offer some sort of advice to help you navigate through this situation.
Makes sense.
Christine, you write us, Roz and Mocha, FML, Fix My Life. How do you know if you like your best friend as more than a friend? I've liked him on and off for years, but sometimes I think it's the idea of him and not having any other options, mixing that up with just being friends. Wow.
Does this guy know that you've liked him on and off?
He has in the past, and I think I have maybe screwed myself over because a couple months ago I told him that I didn't like him.
Yeah.
Because I was mad at him, I guess, and now I'm back to feeling like, okay, maybe I do.
But are those just feelings of guilt, or are those feelings of you actually falling in love with him?
Well, that's my question. I don't know. Not guilt, for sure.
Okay, so you don't feel guilty that you may have sort of shut him down a little bit?
No.
And okay, so.
But do you love him?
I don't know. That's my thing. Because we've been friends for 10 years, and I go through periods where I realize he's not the perfect man, never will be. Mm-hmm. But there's things that I don't know if it's just because I don't have any other options, and he's just what I have close to me right now.
Yeah.
Why do you say that you have no other options?
Because I don't. Like, there's nobody. There's no other guy in my life at this moment who I would consider dating, and I'm not meeting a lot of people at the moment.
Okay, so I will say this right now. This sounds like a relationship at a convenience. This sounds like, you know, when two friends used to say, hey, if we're both 35 and still single, let's get married. And they said that when they were 20, you know? If you're not sitting here thinking about a future with this person, then chances are it's not real love. Okay. If they're constantly on your mind, but they're on your mind because of your loneliness, or they're on your mind because it's the idea just seems convenient, then I don't know if these are the feelings that maybe you think they are.
Right.
Like, they should fit into all, when you think of this person, he should fit into all aspects of your life, not just make some parts of your life easier. Right? You should close your eyes and think of a life with this person, not life at the moment and how you won't be lonely anymore.
Right.
Christine, does this guy have a girlfriend right now?
No.
When he did have a girlfriend, how did that make you feel?
Jealous.
Yeah.
I didn't like her very much.
But also being jealous doesn't mean you're in love with him.
Yeah.
Right? It's not being like being jealous in that way that your friend is dating someone else is actually like quite immature.
Yeah.
You should, as an adult, be okay with that. Now, if you are in love with them, right? Like, if this is for you or for anybody else listening right now, if you're in that friendship and you are debating as to whether or not to tell that friend that you love them, the only question that you need to ask yourself is, will the friendship survive the honesty? So if you tell your friend that you love them, and if they don't love you back, will you guys still be friends?
What's your answer to that, Christine?
I think it would take some time, but I do think we'd still be friends.
Take some time. So, listen, don't tell him. Move on. Okay. Try to get a next guy.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're not like, you don't have a future with this guy. Like, you don't see a future with this guy. That's not what you're thinking about.
You don't even sound convinced that you like truly like him.
But I can't see my life without him either.
But you can't see your life without him in it, or you can't see your life without him in your life, all aspects of your life.
I can't see my life without him being in my life and being a part of my life. Like,
right,
he's
but
a
do
big
you,
part of my
right,
life.
Right, but do you see him being like a father to your children?
Do you see yourself
holding his hand in a hospital bed when one of his parents is dying?
Yes.
But you don't see family. You see friendship. You value the friendship. Okay?
Like, even just now when Roz asked you that question about whether or not you could see this guy being father to your children, if it was a hardcore yes, you would answer that right away and not wait 3 seconds and say,
Yeah, you like him as a friend, and he is there for certain aspects of your life. But from everything you're saying to us, this isn't the guy for you. You're lonely. You want love.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want love? Everybody wants love. I don't care what you say. Everybody wants love. They want somebody to love them. They want somebody to love. It's the greatest thing in the world.
Christine, you got to get over this guy and the fact that you like him, and you got to get yourself out there. Online dating, apps, whatever. Do your thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Don't let this guy distract you, or what you think you see in a potential quote-unquote relationship cloud the fact that there are other dudes out there for you.
All right?
Before we let you go, how much of a priority is this guy in your life?
Probably number two to work.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah.
Okay, lots to think about.
Okay, love.
All right, take care.
Thanks so much.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life, only on KISS.
Remember Felicia Rashad?
Yeah, Claire Huxtable.
Claire Huxtable's joining. Sorry, Felicia Rashad is joining. This Is Us.
No, she is not.
Yeah, she's going to play Beth's mom.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She played Adonis Creed's mom in the Creed movies.
That's right. And she's also on Empire, which I don't watch.
I gave up on Empire after season two.
Yeah, I gave up on This Is Us after season one.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, I didn't even finish season two.
Felicia
and I
Rashad.
Loved season one. Like, I loved it with all my heart. I loved season one. I really, really did.
But
and
you just bailed.
As soon as they played out the gimmick of what killed the dad.
Ah, spoiler alert!
Whatever. As soon as
I
they
still
played out
seen
whatever.
The show.
As soon as they played out the gimmick of who killed the dad, I just realized that they were all self-absorbed, annoying twits.
Really?
All the kids. I hate the kids.
Pretty
I hate
harsh.
What's wrong with that, Maury says. What's wrong with that? Look at me every day. No, Chrissy Metz, who I think is a wonderful person. Everything I've seen with her in interviews, love her. Her character is insufferable.
Really?
The actor guy, the hunky jabroni actor. What's that guy's name? The other brother? What's his name?
Justin Hartley is his real name.
Yeah. Insufferable. So self-centered. Everything is about them. Hey, Randall. I even started to not like Randall. The mom, I hated
Sterling K. Brown?
No, I like Sterling K. Brown, but I started to not like Randall. The only character. Person gotcha. In the show that I liked, that I had any interest in, was Beth, who I think from the beginning was the best character of that show. And by the end
was
of it,
that
when
Mandy
I...
Moore?
No. Beth is Sterling K. Brown's wife. Yeah. Randall's wife. Okay. She's the best character on that show. She's the best written character on that show. Mandy, no, I hated Mandy Moore too.
What?
Because she was terrible. Everything is about... It's I can't sit there and watch these self-centered jabronis just act like spoiled brats. And I'm over now. I understand your dad died, right? You're not alone in that. Get it. It's okay. But your actions and the way you treat people are horrible. Wow. Like horrible. And I had to bail. I had to bail on the show. I really did.
So...
Hey, so Felicia Rashad.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I got a cold.
Oh, no!
And I'll tell you, the thing that sucks with a cold is that coffee tastes terrible.
Oh, dude, that sucks.
Yeah, because I love coffee.
This is like
right at the time of day where I really enjoy coffee.
Yeah.
And it just tastes awful. It's terrible.
You ever drink tea? Do you want tea?
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I have drank tea before. Catherine only drinks tea at the house.
I have green tea here.
No, green tea kind of buzzes me up. Too much going on in green tea.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I like it.
No, it buzzes me up too much.
It makes me pee a lot.
Does it really?
Yeah. Green tea? Oh, my God, it clears me up.
No, I took what the hell did I take? I don't know. Some sort of medication that I shouldn't have. All that stuff, whether it's a daytime, nighttime, whatever it is, all that cold medication that's out there, I feel fine on it, right? Like, I'm great. No problems. The only thing that it does is it messes me up to where I can't read. Like
you can't read?
No, it's my eyes when I have to focus.
Really?
That's everything else. I feel great.
Yeah,
I can do all the stuff. Give somebody a hug. Sing a song. Do all that stuff. I'm not going to hug you more. Go back in your room.
Ouch.
But
sick enough to roast.
But reading really messes me up. Reading really.
But doesn't
messes
it put you
up.
To sleep, which is amazing?
No, because the daytime stuff keeps you up.
No, if you take the nighttime stuff at night, you'll wake up feeling.
No,
great.
I don't like that because then I don't like being the feeling that I'm under a narcotic. Like I don't like taking a pill and then it makes you fall asleep. It really.
But when you're sick, it's great. No. It makes Neocitrin and Southern Comfort. That way you fall asleep and you sweat it out.
Neocitrin and Southern Comfort.
See all that stuff.
Yeah.
All the nighttime stuff. I had to stop taking. And I don't know if this happens with you guys or anybody listening, but when you read some of the side effects on the side of the box, right, it will say that may cause restlessness.
Yeah.
So when I take it in the evening time, even if I take it at like 7 and I go to bed at 9:30, throughout the night, like every hour, I'm just like waking up, my heart's racing, and I just can't get to sleep.
Yeah, I'm.
So I had to stop taking that.
Yeah,
that
see, stuff. I'm like that as well. I if there are side effects listed on the bottle, I will get them all for everything that I take. I remember about 10 years ago, I was trying to quit smoking, and I went on one of those those quit smoking pills that they give you.
Yeah,
and the side effects were like irritability, mood swings, everything else. And Catherine picked me up from work one day, and I got in the car. And we drove about a half a kilometer. By the time we got to the end of half a kilometer, she was in tears.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I was such an a-hole. I got all the side effects. I became a monster.
And you had to poo.
No, I was a monster.
Really?
Like an absolute
monster. I can't imagine that
monster.
From you?
Yeah, and I didn't know what was going on. But I didn't know what was going on. I know it's hard to believe, right? Me, so nice and kind, right? That I could turn into such a terrible person with medication. Maury's having the greatest day of his life right now.
We just started
I've never seen him laugh this much. I've never once told a joke that made Maury laugh this much.
Tell the joke.
No, that's what I said.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oh, I'm so tired.
You know what I'm saying?
Stupid Bachelor.
Dude, okay, so I started to watch a Bachelor.
Yeah.
Can I tell you all the virgin comments?
Yeah. You loved?
Got me. Just
so
I was
hot. Oh.
I was fed up.
Oh,
I
you
stopped,
were?
Yeah, I stopped watching after
Why,
an hour.
Though? Why?
It just became... about him being virgin and not anything else.
Yeah. But you, but you don't think that that's what the show is about? It's guy who's going on television to fall in love and propose to somebody who's never had sex before?
I know.
That's a big story.
I know, but I just felt like too many comments. Like, way too many.
Yeah, but they got to wrap the show like that. And I know that people are kind of going off on social media that they didn't like how there was, that all the women that were coming out of the car, some of the women that were coming out of the limos, were making virgin jokes. Like, the girl from Toronto popped a balloon and said that she popped his cherry. Yeah. Some other girl did a card trick and then took his V card. Right?
Yeah.
But he keeps talking about how he's a virgin. He introduced himself as the first virgin bachelor.
I know, but you know that was the producers being like, hey,
Doesn't matter. He's into
it. You're Colton the virgin.
Nah, I know, but he's into it, though. That's how he's marketing himself.
I don't know. I was just like, man,
You had Ari, the race car driver. You had, so-and-so, the single dad, and you got Colton the virgin, right?
A couple of fans got engaged.
My favorite was the girl that said she hadn't dated a virgin since she was 12.
Was that within the first hour? Because I don't remember that.
Yeah, and I actually, did she get the first impression, Rose? Maybe not. Yeah, no, the first woman out of the car was like a girl named Demi, where she said that she hadn't dated a virgin since she was 12.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so when you were 13, you started dating dudes with experience. Also, with a virgin on these shows, like when you're, I expected and celebrated, I'm not one of these people that didn't want to acknowledge that Catherine, the woman I love and spend my life with, had a past, had a history. Mm. I'm fine with that. Like, you expect that. And I find it weird when people don't want to acknowledge that the person that they're with, whether it be their husband or their wife, had some sort of history.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, on these shows, especially like this, when people get hated because they don't want to date Colton because he's a virgin, I understand it. I understand why you wouldn't want to date a virgin. If you want to do anything with anybody else that requires some sort of skill, you want to do it with somebody who's done it before. Otherwise, it's no fun. Tennis.
Yeah,
sucks when you're playing it with somebody who's never played tennis before.
It's just always winning.
Right? It's awful. Ping pong, same thing.
Yeah.
Dancing. Like, if you really want to, like, if you want to go out and impress, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to dance. You want to dance with somebody who knows how to dance. Otherwise, you both look like idiots and nobody enjoys themselves.
And it's extremely boring.
Right. It's boring. So I get this not wanting to date a virgin.
Did you watch the full 3 hours?
I watched the full, was it 3 hours?
Yeah.
No, I fast forwarded through all of the jibber jabber that was going on with Chris Harrison. I only watched the show part.
Oh, okay.
I didn't watch any of that nonsense.
All right.
No.
Did you see the two fans that proposed?
No, missed it all.
Yeah, all the stuff what they were doing.
Missed it all.
From the different cities?
No, I watched.
When they were in like LA and like Dallas.
No, it's not for me.
So just straight up, just the show.
Straight up, just
the
show.
How long is the actual show then, you think?
I probably.
Like an hour and
a little bit over an hour. Yeah. An hour 20.
Just filled with nonsense.
There was so much garbage.
That's the other thing that turned me off the show last night.
Yeah.
Is the fact that they had all this extra stuff and I just wanted to see the show.
It's not going
to
be like that anymore. That was the first episode.
I know.
But yeah, no. So 30 women down to 25. The sloth, did she make it through? The girl that showed up in the sloth outfit?
No,
she did not make it through?
She did not.
No, because of sweat, I guess.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, have you been watching that, God, what's her name? Little Japanese lady on Netflix who helps you clean your house?
Dude.
So
I just saw the trailer for it.
Yeah.
And I saved it to my Netflix list. And that is the next show that my wife and I are going to watch.
Marie Kondo. Kondo.
I'd never heard of her, but just based on the trailer.
So Catherine has been doing her sort of way for years since the book came out.
Yeah.
And
it was a book.
It was a book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Explain to everybody who this young lady is.
So she is a master at tidying and organizing. And she's Japanese and she has developed this philosophy and way over the years. And it's how you organize your house and how you organize your life and where you put things. But it's about letting go to clutter. And it is so energizing when you watch this show that you desperately want the episode to finish because you need to tidy something up.
Yes,
like it's really incredible. My kid went down to her room yesterday because we watched it with Roxy. My kid went down to her room over the weekend and got rid of half her stuff.
Really?
And was happy to see it go because her thing is this also because she's adorable is that when she walks into somebody's house, the format is sort of like Hoarders, right? Mm-hmm. Where she walks into somebody's house, they got a lot of stuff going on, and then she's there to help them make their way through it.
Yeah.
With certain steps that you have to follow. But the first thing she does is she walks into their house and she thanks their home. So she gets on her knees and sits, she finds an area. So she walks around like in a little circle in the room.
Yeah.
And she doesn't speak English. So she speaks to her translator.
Yeah.
And she's like 4'5", maybe. And they're always making jokes of how she can't reach stuff on the top hanger racks in giant Americans' closets. And so she gets on her knees and then she closes her eyes and she does like a little moment of meditation thanking the home, which is adorable. But then you start with your clothes. You always start with your clothes. When it comes to tidying up your house, the only place that you can start with is your clothes, because I agree. It's usually your biggest problem. And it's the one that will give you the most satisfaction by the end of it, that will energize you to go on and do the rest of the stuff in your house. So if you start with personal items, you have too much attachment to them.
Okay, and it takes too long.
So it's very difficult. But
like, when I start doing that stuff, like getting rid of the personal items, it takes too long because I look at it and then I'm like, I don't know. Okay, I remember this.
But here's the deal. So
it reminds me of something.
You start with clothes.
Yes.
Okay. And you take all your clothes, everything you own, you throw it on the bed.
Okay.
Everything. Every single thing you own, and you throw it on the bed. You go through it one by one.
Yeah.
And you pick up an article of clothing. If it gives you a moment of joy.
Just in that very moment.
In that very moment. Yeah. If it gives you a moment of joy, you keep it. If it doesn't, you thank it for what it's done for you, and it moves on.
No, you thank it?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Please tell
immediately
me.
Immediately, if your nine-year-old went
into her room and started thanking everything.
Everything. She touched everything, and if it gave her a moment of joy, it stayed. And then if not, she thanked it, and then it moved on, and we went and we donated everything. Okay? So
that
I'm telling you,
so cute.
The moment of joy. So now my life is all things.
Yeah.
I like look around my house, and I'll see something, and I'll hang on to it. And if it gives me a moment of joy, I know it's there to stay. And if it doesn't, we're
pretty much everything you got rid of.
We're getting rid of everything.
Yeah.
We're getting rid of everything. And then Catherine went to hold my hand and I pulled my hand away because I thought she was looking to get rid of me.
She's like, yeah, what is this? Bye.
I'm not that moment of joy.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I started watching that Wiener show on Netflix.
Wiener?
Have you seen it?
Nah.
I think it's called Pinky Malinky.
Malinky.
It's an animated
show.
Netflix
is like dude, way different than my Netflix.
When you go on R3 Netflix, it looks like we subscribe to three different services.
Yeah.
Mine, Catherine's, and Roxy's. Mine, right at the top, just says violent movies. And then it's all of that. Like, Roxy won't even go on mine.
Right.
Because the box covers are too horrific for her. And she knows they're wildly inappropriate. No, but there's a show called Pinky Malinky. It's about a wiener. Like a hot dog.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like a hot dog.
I was like, what you doing, Netflix?
No, he's a cheerleading hot dog who goes to junior high and lives with a regular family. But they never make mention that the fact that he's a wiener.
It's a cartoon?
Yeah.
Okay.
They just never make mention that the fact that he's a wiener. Because Trump was talking last night and it screwed all the TV up, right?
Trump was talking some crazy stuff, man.
I didn't watch any of that. And then I went on and I watched a little bit of Ray Donovan to try and catch up on that. But then I see this Netflix tweet. And Netflix tweeted, think you've seen everything there is to see in Bandersnatch? Try picking up the family photo twice.
Oh, F you, Netflix. Stop it. No, I'm not doing it. You know how much of the holidays I spent on Bandersnatch?
Yeah.
We were watching. So Bandersnatch is the Black Mirror Choose Your Own Adventure movie where throughout the movie, every couple minutes, a decision has to be made by us, the viewers, and it'll show you on the bottom of the screen. For example, does the character in that scene want to eat cereal A or cereal B?
Yeah.
And you get to toggle between cereal A or B. You choose that, and it takes you down that path.
Yeah.
And before you start the movie, it says, this movie is like an hour and a half or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But with making all these decisions, depending on which path you go down, you may get to like a dead end and the movie ends, but then it takes you back to a previous decision for you to be able to navigate and continue and make different choices until you get to the very end.
And it's maddening because we
watched it the day it came out. So the social media mapping of how all your choices were didn't yet exist, right? Yeah. And we spent 3 hours on Bandersnatch.
God, 3 hours.
Just trying to get Stefan to have a happy ending, right? Just want the poor kid to have a good life.
We had.
And now I find out that there's a new way to go by picking up the family photo twice.
I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do it, honestly. Because we spent like 2 hours one night watching.
Yeah.
And then my wife was like, I can't do this anymore.
No.
And I said, okay, I'll finish tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then the next night, I spent an additional maybe 30. Yeah, so I'd say about 2.5, almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
But then what I did was I went on YouTube.
Right.
And I found a video.
Oh, the cheat? You went and found a cheat code?
No, 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 because I ended it.
Yeah. Right?
I went to the very, very end, and I finished Bandersnatch, and I was like, well, I want to know how many potential endings there are.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a video, and it showed all the, like, depending on if you make a decision here, here, yeah, here, here are every single ending that they have for Bandersnatch. It was like, I think 5 or 6 endings.
Yeah.
So I saw every single ending, including a couple of the choices that I made that were bad that ended the movie right then and there.
Maury, are you going to watch this tonight, Maury? Yeah, Maury's going to watch it tonight. But anyway,
no,
so that was
it.
From
I
that,
can't. No.
That was from Netflix. Again,
no,
I'll read you the tweet. Netflix tweeted yesterday, think you've seen everything there is to see in Bandersnatch? Try picking up the family photo twice.
No, you try picking it up twice.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Roman, are you there?
I am.
So it's early. You're in Vancouver, Roman. You wrote us this. Hey, I live in Vancouver. Found out about you guys because Kiss Radio here streams the Roz and Mocha Show at 6 p.m. That's right. We are in the evenings in Vancouver. I have an hour commute to work and an hour and a half commute home.
Wow.
But you say that you've been binge listening to the podcast, say that we're all amazing. Thank you for that. And your show, this is what you say, almost makes me want to sell my house and take my family and move to Toronto.
Wow. Has that been a discussion in your home at all, Roman? Have you brought that up?
I have. My wife crazy.
Yeah, she thinks you're nuts, right?
Of course.
Of course she does. Okay. Yeah.
But you still get the podcast.
Oh, of course.
Hey, how's life in Vancouver? Why is your commute so long, man? I've been to Vancouver. You got to like drive real far to do an hour and a half.
Yeah, I live in Maple Ridge. I work at the airport.
Okay. So, wow, that's legit. Like, so it's an hour there, hour and a half home?
Yeah, yesterday, because of all the wind, jeez, my commute was 3 hours.
See, we don't have those problems because this show is on, like, we're on in Ottawa, we're on here in Toronto and Kingston and then Vancouver, Victoria. And it's interesting once you start talking about weather and all these different places.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have never been late for work because it's windy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I've never been late for work because it's windy. Like it's just, it's never been a thing.
We've been like a couple minutes or maybe 20 minutes late for work because of a lot of snow, let's just say. So you drive a little bit slower, but never for wind.
I've been late an entire week because of snow.
Yes.
Right?
There you go.
You know, which you guys don't have to deal with. I mean, my God, in Ottawa, they even have it worse than we do. But it's really interesting, man. That's crazy. So how's your life? Are you cool?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
You're married? You got kids?
Yeah, 3 kids.
This guy's voice is so hot.
Shut up, Maury. Stop flirting with the fans.
God,
so
what,
weird.
Is it flirting if it's over the phone?
Is it flirting if it's over the phone?
What?
You are a notorious micro cheater, and I'll tell you why, Moore, because you don't even know when you're micro cheating.
I know, I'm that good.
No.
You know what? Yeah, you are that good, Moore. You should keep it up. You are that good. Hey, Roman, so if you've only discovered the show recently, and I mean, you've been listening to the podcast, so chances are you've heard Roz and I have been on the radio together for over 9 years, going into our 10th year. Do you have any questions for the show? Do you have any questions about stuff that we do or anything like that?
To be honest, not at the moment. After I found out about your guys' show, kind of went out and YouTube, checked out some of the videos you guys have.
Yeah.
You know, like I have a 10-year-old stepdaughter, 15-year-old stepson, and like they all love you guys.
Oh man,
my wife, my kids, and yeah, like when I pick up my daughter from school, she'll just be like, "Want to listen to the Roz and Mocha Show?" I'm like, "Yeah, you betcha."
Oh man, that's amazing. Well, Roman, much love to you and your family. Thank you so much for listening.
Ask him the question,
Maury. I was like, "Why you always got to interrupt, man?"
Because it sounds like you're ending the call, and I'm like,
"No,
hold on."
You know how he does this? He springs it on him at the end, man.
Dude,
Oh, I thought I was worried.
No, no, no. Okay, don't worry.
He's going to do it. He's going to do it.
No, not now.
You're shushing me?
You like ruin like everything that I was about to do just now. Roman, between Ross and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Do you want just my favorite or the whole family?
Oh, if you know, if you've already pulled the room, then please, let's get the whole family.
My son said Roz because he's smooth and eloquent.
Oh, a new one.
Stop it.
Smooth and eloquent. That's Roz, all right.
Yeah, my 10-year-old daughter said Maury because she feels that he is exactly like her.
Okay, but Maury doesn't count, though.
I do count
sometimes.
No,
I know, I know, but it's okay. There's two more people.
Okay.
My wife absolutely loves you, Mocha.
Okay.
Your laugh gets her every time.
That's, love it. I love your wife.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And I got to go with Roz because he's a straight shooter like me.
There we go. Me and you, eloquent straight shooters, huh?
Wait, but what about your... Wait, you have a stepdaughter, and did you say stepson?
Yeah, I was the favorite as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And my other son is 20 months, so he doesn't count.
So who's his favorite?
I don't know.
Based on reaction to listening to the Roz and Mocha show, and based on the 20-month-old reaction to our voices and things that happen.
Well, considering
look at this.
Exactly
this is how Mocha can't take a loss.
No,
you want to try to pull a baby.
No,
okay.
Even is even.
No, you can't do that.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
No, it's fine because you're just going to make it worse for yourself because my son's exactly like me.
Oh, snap. There you go. I even got the baby.
Yeah.
Well, wow. That vote doesn't count. That's a baby. Come on. Babies don't know anything. Roman, thank you so much for your dedication, bro. We appreciate you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. You really do make a day brighter when, you know, it's all crappy.
Hey, call in anytime.
Thanks, dude. Shout out
to everyone in Vancouver, for real.
Thanks, guys.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So Gaga came out talking about...
If there could be 100 people in a room?
R. Kelly.
Oh.
Here's where we sort of fail as... I don't want to say society, but you'll understand what I mean. So Kevin Hart said some homophobic stuff 10 years ago and...
apologized for them a couple of years later.
And they want to cancel him. Which is fine. You can feel that way. Absolutely. I'm not saying don't feel that way. You can 100% feel that way. But Lady Gaga has finally come out, and I'll read you the statement.
Okay.
To talk about working with R. Kelly and doing the song with R. Kelly. And she didn't do this like 10 years ago. Right? This is 2013?
So 6 years ago.
6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knew the stories of R. Kelly when Lady Gaga did the song with R. Kelly. You cannot. This isn't like a Harvey Weinstein where you heard nothing. Everyone knew the stories of R. Kelly.
Yeah.
And so the question then became...
Like even before that, Dave Chappelle had been doing jokes and skits on his show in...
They'd been investigating him. He was on
2004.
Trial. So the question then is, when Lady Gaga does a song with R. Kelly in 2013, and now she's all tied to the Academy Awards and are given her front row seats for the Golden Globes, why not in every single interview that Lady Gaga does for A Star Is Born, why is she not asked, why the hell did you do a song with R. Kelly in 2013? Why is that not the bane of her existence?
Yeah. I don't know.
So here's what Lady Gaga said in a statement. She goes, I stand behind these women 1,000%. This, of course, is after the Surviving R. Kelly documentary aired on Lifetime over the weekend. And by the way, the producer of that show said that he went to Gaga and asked for Gaga to be a part of it, and she declined.
No, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So Gaga says this. I stand by these women 1,000%. Believe them when they are suffering in pain. I feel strongly that their voices should be heard and taken seriously. What I'm hearing about the allegations against R. Kelly is absolutely horrifying and indefensible. You heard them before. Guaranteed, Lady Gaga. As a victim of sexual assault myself, I made both the song and the video at a dark time in my life. Understandable. My intention was to create something extremely defiant and provocative because I was angry and still hadn't processed the trauma that had occurred in my own life. Then she goes on to say, I can't go back, but I can go forward and continue to support women, men, and people of all sexual identities and all races who are victims of sexual assault. I have demonstrated my stance on this issue and others many times throughout my career. I share this not to make excuses for myself, but to explain. Till it happens to you, and you know how it feels. But I do know how it feels. I intend to remove the song from iTunes and other streaming platforms and will not be working with Kelly again. I'm sorry for both my poor judgment when I was young and for not speaking out sooner.
So she gets a pass.
She gets a pass. Hey, what are you going to do? Good statement, though. Ms. Long, that's how you do a statement. Like, I'll say whatever you want, and I think that Lady Gaga, this should have been the bane of her existence for the past 5 years, but whatever. But when you are going to release a statement, Kevin Hart screwed the whole thing up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did he? He's Thomas Markle, like, territory of screwing everything up.
Stomps it. Like, you said your piece.
Just shut up.
Weeks ago. Just stop talking.
But Gaga's statement's good. That's how you do a statement.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Well, would you look at the time?
There is no time. It's a podcast.
It's time for you to get your candy ass checked in to the SmackDown Hotel.
Oh, jeez. Hey, Mocha, you ready?
Yeah.
Let's do the news!
A Roz and Mocha Show and KISS 92.5 News Break.
Did Chrissy Metz from This Is Us call Allison Brie from GLOW a bitch? That's the question. And the reason I didn't say the B word is because we're going to play a clip, and the word you actually have to listen to is for the word bitch. So what was happening is they were on a red carpet and they were interviewing Chrissy Metz, and the two reporters were like, hey, do you know Allison Brie? And Chrissy Metz was like, yeah. And they're like, she's at the other end of the carpet. And then, like, the camera's supposed to pan, and then they cut to the other reporter talking to Allison Brie, but their mics were still hot. So listen to this and the very end of it, and you tell me if the words "she's such a bitch" comes out of her mouth.
Do you know a girl named Allison Brie?
Do I?
Well, I hear she's at the other end of the carpet.
Oh. Let's go see Allison Brie. I'm like, do I? She's such a bitch.
Did you hear it?
Yeah, I don't think she said she's such a bitch. It sounds like something.
Go back. Go back.
Oh, let me hear it.
Okay.
She's such a bitch. She's such a bitch. She's such a bitch. She's such a bitch.
Right?
Who's out in the background?
She's such a bitch.
It sounds like somebody sneezing.
She's such a bitch. She's such a bitch. She's such a bitch.
I don't know.
Chrissy
Metz.
Like,
if you have it in your mind, I'm sure it could sound like that, but you could also say she's such a...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Something else.
So she wound
up... She's such a big supporter of mine.
Chrissy Metz wound up saying, it's terribly unfortunate anyone would think much less or run a story that was completely fabricated. I adore Allison and would never say a bad word about her or anyone. I sure hope she knows my heart. But I will say this, Us Weekly pulled that tweet. They pulled her story.
Yeah.
So Us Weekly had posted that and then they pulled it. So, but the thing that I need to know is then what did you say? Just say what you said.
She's such a bitch.
I don't know.
Just say what you said then. Instead of saying I didn't say that.
It's like, ugh. She's such a big sneezer. Listen to her sneeze.
She's such a bitch.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Surviving R. Kelly wrapped up over the weekend. This was the 3-night, 6-part series on Lifetime.
Oh, I couldn't
do it. Interviewed everybody that they could to come on and talk about R. Kelly. Couple of takeaways from that.
Did you watch it?
No, I watched as much as I needed to watch. I know the R. Kelly story very well. You can go back there. Go back and look in the 2002 archives of what was said in court and what is on record. And it's just, there's a lot of stuff available to you to go and read. And it really is, I don't know how R. Kelly has skated this long, but he has, and that's that. But here's the problem with all of this is even after Surviving R. Kelly aired, where, you know, allegedly he is the worst person on the face of the earth. R. Kelly's music on Spotify jumped 16%.
No, it did not.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. Do you remember when Spotify tried to pull R. Kelly's music?
Yes, I do.
And there was such a backlash that they had to reconsider it? So even after Surviving R. Kelly rant, 3 nights they tried to knock some sense into people. Over 3 nights, R. Kelly's music on Spotify jumped 16%. R. Kelly still gets 5.5 million monthly streams on Spotify.
Still remixed to Ignition.
Right?
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Thomas Markle is going back at Prince Harry again.
Again?
So Thomas Markle has been doing this thing. This is Meghan Markle's dad, by the way.
Yes.
He's been doing this thing of like, hey, listen, I was a good dad and we all should love each other. And then he's like, you guys suck. And then he does another interview. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. We should all just like get along. Now he's back to, you guys suck.
He's like Kanye West going to Drake.
He really is. You're right. Thomas Markle, this is what he says. This is his new interview that he did with The Sun.
Okay, hit me.
He tells Prince Harry to man up and get over it, quote unquote.
Ooh.
He goes, if I'm the first person who's insulted you or hurt your feelings, you've got a long way to go.
Oh, you listen here, Sonny.
He says he's human, just like the rest of us. I feel that he feels that he's above everyone else.
Yeah, he's
and
a
that
prince.
He has the right to talk down to people. And I cannot accept that. It feels like arrogance to me. And then he also goes on to say that to Meghan, he goes, I've been a good father. I've done nothing wrong. Axe murderers kill 19 people and their daughters still come to visit them in prison.
What?
It's Who? Just incomprehensible for Meghan to treat me this way. Yeah. So axe murderers. He killed 19 people, which is a very specific number. Yeah. Right? It's a very specific number. He says that their daughters still come to visit them in prison. So what did he do so bad to Meghan Markle? So that's the latest on Thomas Markle.
Oh.
Obviously did not go to the holidays, spend the holidays with this.
No.
With this
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So after his appearance on Ellen and then his own podcast on satellite radio just moments ago, Kevin Hart was on Good Morning America to finally say once and for all whether, in fact, he will still consider hosting the Academy Awards.
With all this being said and all this controversy and all the way you've addressed it,
yeah,
is there a hope that you would host the Oscars this year?
No.
Absolute no.
Yes, I'm not hosting the Oscars this year.
Ooh, okay, there you go. And also, after apologizing on Twitter, after apologizing on Ellen, after apologizing on his satellite radio show, it's looking like Kevin Hart is now digging his heels in and he's once again back to, I will not apologize.
Why do you have to prove that you are a loving individual? You know who you are. The people closest to you know who you are. You shouldn't have to prove that. You shouldn't have to justify that. That's the position I'm in. I shouldn't have to prove who I am. I shouldn't have to prove the level of love that I'm capable of giving. If anybody out there wants to believe that Kevin Hart is that much of a monster, that he wouldn't love somebody because of their choice in life, then all power to him. Feel and choose to think how you think. I'm not addressing it. I'm not over-delivering and over-proving myself. Because no matter what you do, it may still not be received. And you'll find yourself in a position where you go, well, what else do you want? You want blood?
Wow. Well, there you go. He's really, he's kind of entering Thomas Markle category, huh?
Yeah.
With the saying too much, like
just stop.
Hump the brakes, Kevin. Kevin Hart on his satellite radio show, offering up yet another apology and explanation and justification. But the last couple of times that Kevin Hart has tried to apologize, justify, and explain his gay jokes of the past, it has not gone well. It didn't even go well for Ellen. And everybody loves Ellen. So yeah. This is Kevin Hart on his own show.
I understand why people are hurt. I understand what these words mean. I'm sorry. I said it again when I stepped down. I apologize. I wrote it. I said it.
Right.
Right? I know I did. These weren't words that I said to gay individuals. This is wrong now. Because now we're in a space where I'm around people of the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And I'm now aware of how these words make them feel and why they say that shit hurt because of what I've been through. So then we say, hey, man, as a group, let's erase this shit. We don't talk like this no more. Hey. Mm-hmm. Let's not do this. We don't post shit on social media. And more importantly, within my comedy act, I'm going to make sure that I don't do anything else offensive. Kevin Hart apologizes for his remarks that hurt members of the LGBTQ community.
Well, there you go. And they're still looking for a host for the Academy Awards.
Which are like a couple weeks away.
Which are a couple... Man.
Chris Rock's name has been thrown around, but of course Chris Rock is a sketchy past too. Not necessarily a sketchy past as in he's a bad guy, but he's done some questionable material. Sure. Even though Chris Rock first hosted the Academy Awards in 2005 and then again in 2016, but he was at the New York Film Critics Circle Awards dinner last night in New York, and he looked out into the audience and he saw Steve Martin. And Chris Rock said this: Steve Martin's here. You should host the Oscars. You're the best. And then he goes on to say, Steve Martin should host the Oscars because I'm not doing it. God damn it. You're not getting me.
Yeah, so don't be digging up my old material. Yep.
So scratch Chris Rock's name off that list.
Yep.
It is confirmed, according to the Daily Mail, that Tom Hardy will be back for a Venom sequel.
What?
Even though Venom came out with very mixed reviews.
Didn't it do terrible in the box office?
No, it made $855 million.
Oh, yeah, you got a new sequel.
Right?
Doesn't matter.
You know what kind of money $855 million is? That means that they're probably going to get Spider-Man for the sequel because that's what they want. They want to do the Venom Spider-Man movie.
Okay, game changer then.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what they wanted. That's what the screenwriter's like. He's like, it's the natural evolution.
It has to happen.
To have Venom versus Spider-Man. So there you go. I missed it last night because I was in the bachelor hole, but America's Got Talent, the Champions, was on.
What?
And so it's like the Olympics of America's Got Talent. They've taken all the champions from all like the 10 years that this show has been on the air from all over the world.
Yeah, All-Star Edition.
It's the All-Star Edition, and Susan Boyle. Remember Susan Boyle?
With that voice.
Susan Boyle shows up. Now the question is, does Susan Boyle still have it?
Yes. Yo, how old is Susan Boyle?
57?
She still got it. No sweeping exit. Damn. Right? Yo, Mariah Carey wishes she could sound like this now.
Anyway, as Susan Boyle got the golden buzzer, so she goes straight to the finals.
Of course she does.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Samsung users are freaking out and are super pissed because their new Samsung phones that come with Facebook.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
You can't delete Facebook.
You can't?
No, and as this happens, you know, especially now after all the privacy issues that we've been reading about for Facebook for the past couple of months, couple of years, let's say, and Facebook made a deal with all sorts of companies like Samsung. Samsung's deal with Facebook puts Facebook on Android phones right out of the box.
So if you don't want Facebook,
you can disable it.
But you can't delete it.
You can't delete it.
Damn.
You can disable it. They say that once it's disabled, it stops all information passing through Facebook. That's what they say. But after everything we know, do you believe that?
No.
No. Why would you? Pablo Escobar's brother, Roberto, launched a $50 million GoFundMe campaign to impeach Donald Trump.
Get out of here.
Yeah. The brother of Pablo Escobar was hoping to raise $50 million in donations for his company, Escobar Inc. Jeez, man. You got to come up with a...
he's a code name, bro.
You got to come up with a company name that's going to put less heat on whatever it is you're doing. Like, you could make baby soothers and nobody's going to do business with you if you make baby soothers in a company called Escobar Inc.
Proudly made by...
and then you're like, oh, no, it can't be that Escobar. No. And then you look on the box, oh, manufactured in Colombia. Right?
Smells funny.
Don't put it in your baby's mouth. What he said is this: Donald Trump, discrimination of the Latino American people. We are some of the hardest working people in the world. Trump is 100% corrupt and colluding with foreign governments. Trump is like a chihuahua, small and cute, but doesn't know how to bite. I am a good at biting. And then he goes on to say, quote, that he is holding dirty secrets of President Trump, his family, and associates.
Uh-huh.
GoFundMe pulled the page.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Margot Robbie is set to star in the new Barbie movie after both Anne Hathaway and Amy Schumer dropped out of it.
Oh, yeah?
I like the idea of a Barbie movie, and I'll tell you why. Here's my idea of what I think they should do with the Barbie movie, is that I think that Barbie should be some sort of like spy.
Mm.
and make it interesting. But I also think that Barbie in the movie should have all the jobs that Barbie has had since 1960.
So like I think astronaut, that the, doctor,
yes,
a vet,
yes. I think that Barbie should have all those jobs and all those lives, that she should be interacting somehow.
Oh my God.
With all these aspects of life, with she's like this superhuman who can do all this stuff. And I think that
you're getting into the Barbie like multiverse.
Yes, but it would be hysterical, right? Yes, welcome to the Barbieverse. Like, I'm all for a Barbie movie if you take an angle at it like that, because I think it would be super interesting. I'd be into watching that Barbie
movie.
And
I do like Margot Robbie as Barbie.
According to a couple reliable websites, Hollywood Life and Perez Hilton,
What?
Maroon 5 is hoping to have the Rolling Stones play the Super Bowl halftime show with them.
Okay.
But wouldn't it kind of be cool if Mick Jagger was on stage performing moves like Jagger with Maroon 5?
I guess.
Does anybody care?
I mean, yes. For that one song,
sure. Way too long to decide if people care. Way too long.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Meghan Markle's brother says that he's getting married and inviting Meghan and Prince Harry to his wedding.
Oh.
It's her half-brother, Thomas Markle Jr.
You know they're going to give a bomb-ass gift.
They're not showing up.
What are you talking about? It's her half-brother.
They're not
family
showing
reunion.
Up.
Haven't seen each other in a while. She's pregnant now.
Yeah, sure. So it's looking like the Academy Awards are going to be hostless for the first time in 30 years, according to a report in Variety.
Yeah.
They've given up on trying to find a replacement for Kevin Hart. And Variety reports that the Oscars will instead recruit stars for various, like, all over the place. I guess they're going to go for music stars and TV stars. They just want stars there, marquee names.
Oh, stars.
Instead of having that one sort of host who's going to go up and do the full monologue. And it was interesting because...
Wait, does that mean the show will be... shorter, because these shows are usually like 3 hours and the monologue takes 15-20 minutes.
Yeah, it might be because the story goes that they've been scrambling to try and find a host for the Oscars. And you know why Kevin Hart made sense to them, and you could tell which way that they were going and why it may become difficult, because I know Whoopi Goldberg has said many times that she still wants to host.
Yeah,
that if they called her, she'd do it. And Kevin Hart's a lot of things, but the one thing Kevin Hart does is he doesn't tell political jokes.
Yeah.
So you got the sense that the Oscars wanted a sort of Trump-free telecast, much like what the Golden Globes were. And that's very difficult to find once you start going outside of people like Kevin Hart, because everybody else who may have a clean background, Whoopi Goldberg, you think Whoopi Goldberg's going to go on stage at the Oscars and not say Donald Trump's name?
She would open up.
Hell no.
By saying,
right?
Hey, everybody, I got this Donald Trump joke I'm going to talk about right now. Ridiculous.
Oh, give me a second. My computer just wanted to... I've been doing so much work today. My computer went into power saver mode with all my news on it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, though. I hope that they don't junk up the time that they would normally have allocated to a host with nonsense, with dumb skits.
But the thing is this, is that you then have to try and find stars who are willing to do dumb skits.
Yeah. But that's the thing, though, with everything that has been happening and with Kevin Hart saying no, are people, stars, going to be open to...
I think they will.
You think so?
I think they will. But
to try to make it more fun?
It's weird for me to go hostless. I mean, find somebody. It's not 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, you're not in mourning where we're like, you know, where we can no longer have fun. This carpet is going to be a very subdued carpet. Like, it's not after a disaster. Like, nothing happened. You just, Kevin Hart's not doing your show, which is fine.
Do you think they're having a hard time finding a replacement because then that person will always be the person that replaced Kevin Hart?
Nobody wants to do the job more.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do
not
it.
Not because of the fact that they're Kevin's replacement.
No. What? You going to open yourself up to that kind of heat?
That's what I mean, yeah.
Jeff Bezos, the guy who created Amazon, is getting divorced from his wife. They've been together for 25 years.
Damn.
And where they
freed up or no?
Where they live, it's a 50-50 split.
Okay.
And with a 50-50 split of his $139 billion,
yeah,
after the split, when the 50-50 is done, she will then automatically become richer than Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh my God. Holy cow. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. But listen, she wasn't like this. She was one of the first Amazon employees.
Yeah.
She was an accountant at Amazon when they started the company. Like she was in there at the beginning. Right?
Okay.
She was there.
I think the most important question that needs to be answered right now.
Yeah.
Will this affect the price of my Amazon Prime membership?
It may.
Like, will my membership go up? Because I love that it free might. Two-day shipping.
It might go
or
up.
Or same-day shipping.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it might go up. Just like, did you get the notice yet yesterday that your Netflix is going up?
Again?
Yeah. I got the notice yesterday. No, because they announced the date when it's going up.
No, this is that same time, the same cycle.
I think it's, God.
I think it's February 9th is when mine is going up.
But didn't they just do...
No, they announced it.
No, what was when was the last time they did a hike? That's too many hikes.
Yeah, so it's going to go, mine's going to jump from $9.99 to $13.99. I got that notice.
Yeah.
The premium Netflix account, I don't even know what that would be, is jumping to $16.99. This is all going down on February 9th.
And is this all because they had to pay for Friends?
It may be, but
come
it
on,
just
Netflix,
means...
Come on, Netflix, hanging to do us like that.
I'm going to have to pay, I'm going to be paying $13.99 a month to watch Pinky Malinky. Can I just please read you the description of Pinky Malinky? Because I know we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, go.
Okay, Pinky Malinky. The series is a mockumentary-style show that follows Pinky Malinky, an infectiously positive hot dog living in a human world trying to prove that Wiener is only one letter away from winner.
I love it.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
It's now time for Ask Roz and Mocha, a podcast exclusive. You will not find this on the live show. Every week, we will post to Instagram at Kiss925 a picture, and the text on the picture simply reads, Ask Roz and Mocha, and all you got to do in the comment section is ask your questions. We'll go through a whole bunch of them right now, try to get through as many as possible, and of course, as always, week after week, invite one of you to be on the podcast to ask your question live. So... Hello, Curtis.
Hey, how's it going?
We're doing so good, man. How about you?
I'm excited to be here again.
Okay, Curtis. So, you've been with us before.
I have, yes.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay.
Do you remember which episode?
I think it was the last one or maybe 2 weeks ago. I asked you a question, Mocha, about you weren't sure what to do with your wife. She was at home alone with the kid all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. And how's that? How's everything going at home?
Oh, it's going great.
Yeah.
You gave me some real good advice. And you asked me to get a couple friends who were dads and ask them some advice, and I'm lucky enough to have a couple.
Cool.
Oh, nice. That's amazing, dude. And I know you wrote in saying that you had a riddle you wanted to do with us because we just love riddles on the show. So go ahead.
So the riddle is, you're walking down a road, and you come to a fork in the road.
Mm-hmm.
One path leads to life, and one path leads to death.
Okay.
Now, there's no signs, and there's no way to tell which way is which.
Okay.
Except for at the fork in the road, there's two brothers. One always lies and one always tells the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask one question to one brother. Which question do you ask?
Can you turn? Is this a trick question where, like, do I have the option to turn around and walk back down the road that I just came from?
No.
No, you got to keep going.
I have to.
Okay, so you can only ask one question.
Yeah.
And you can't ask it to both of them at the same time, expecting they will answer simultaneously.
Correct.
So
I know what the answer is.
You ask one if the other's lying, right?
No.
Well, that's the problem because you don't know which one is lying, which one is telling the truth.
Oh, okay. So you ask.
So let me hear. Okay, oh, no, okay, okay. So you come to a fork in the road. You help me if I get this wrong, okay, bro?
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So you is your head in the game here, Maury?
Is it? No.
Okay. So so you come to a fork in the road. One path leads to the greatest life ever.
Mm. Exactly.
The other path leads to certain death. Right in the beginning of those two paths, there's a set of twin brothers. Okay?
Correct.
One always lies.
Yeah.
Yep.
And one always tells the truth. In order to determine which path is the path to the great life and which path is the path to certain death, you get to ask one question and one question only.
Correct.
In order to figure out which way is...
Oh, I know.
Wait, Maury?
You need to ask a question that you know the answer to.
Okay, so give an example.
To determine which one's telling the truth.
Okay, give an example.
So you would say, what color are my shoes?
And then if he went, so let's say your shoes are blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the twins said red.
Liar.
But which path do you take?
Well, you know that, that the one that's sitting at that path.
No, but you
path,
can only ask one question.
You can only ask one question to find out which path to take.
Oh, I just know that my shoes regularly are blue.
Right.
Okay. You can point to one of the roads and say, does this lead me to death?
Right.
No, but then they're both going to say...
No, only one of them is going to answer.
What if the one's lying and says no? Then
but you don't know if that's the one that always lies.
So you have
to
assume...
ask a question that
you'll
get
the
right answer.
Here's where they get you. You have to assume that they... that the answer you get is always going to be a lie because you don't know which one's going to tell the truth and which one's going to lie. So if I say, will this road here to my left lead me to death? And the answer is yes, then you have to take the right, the other road.
But what if it's the twin that's telling you the truth?
Yeah, you don't know which
one. One always lies. Yeah. One always tells the truth. You want to try again, Maury?
I guess I'm dead then.
No, so I stand by you need to ask a question that you know the answer to.
But the only question you need to know is which path leads to death and which path leads to greatness.
But there's got to be a way so that you could maybe ask the question like, is the path to death lined with greatness? I don't know.
I think I know. Can I tell you what I think it is?
Yes.
Okay. The only way to do this is you have to... I'm trying to work this out here. It's like figuring out the Matrix. Okay, so I think that you would ask either one of the twins. I don't think it matters which twin you ask.
Oh, can I interrupt?
But, yeah.
What if you start walking down one path and say, stop me if I'm going to die?
That's not a question, though.
Oh, should I keep going?
And then if the lying twin says, yes, that's your question that you've just burned. Here's what I think, and my head may explode trying to figure this out. Okay, I think if you ask one twin what the other twin would say, and then they give you that answer, and then you just do the opposite.
No, but how do you know that the one that's answering you is the one that's lying?
Because you do the opposite.
Right.
But what if the one that answers you...
No, makes sense. Okay. That makes sense.
So, Maury, if you and Mocha are the lying twins, right? No, so, Maury...
One tells the truth, one's lying.
Okay, so you're the truth teller, Mocha's the liar.
Yes.
Right?
Like
if
usual.
One path goes like this, and that's life, and one path goes like this, and that's death. Mm-hmm. If I say to you, which way would he tell me to go?
Right.
Because you know that he's always the lying twin.
But you don't know that.
Oh, you do.
I know that.
You do.
But you don't know if I'm the one that's lying.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I'm going to do the opposite.
Right, but what if I'm the one that's lying, because you don't know which one, and you say, tell me which one he'll say, and I'll say, he'll tell you to go down this way.
And then I'm going to do the opposite.
Yeah, because the lying twin is obviously going to lie.
Yeah.
So no matter what, you have to do the opposite.
Yes.
But unless the lying twin is telling you what the...
And then if I ask the lying twin, what would the truth-telling twin say? The lying twin is going to say that he's going to send me down to certain death. So again, I would do the opposite.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is that right, Curtis?
That is correct.
Hey!
I hate when Roz is right.
My head hurts. Okay, so do you get it, Maury?
Yeah, now I do.
Okay, explain it back then. This is always the best part.
Okay, so you have two twins. They look the same.
Yes.
And one tells the truth, one's lying.
Right.
So no matter which one you ask, what's the other one going to do? You just do the opposite, because if it's the truth one, then he's going to say the lying one's going to tell you to go this way, so you just go the other way. And if it's the lying one, you just do the opposite, because no matter what...
Your arms are twisted up like a pretzel right now, going this way and that way. Yo, Curtis, thanks so much, brother.
No problem, guys. Have a good one.
Later.
I don't know if there is a moral for
just
that.
Tell the truth, right?
Yeah.
Always tell the truth.
Oh, exactly.
All right. Let's see. Where do you want to go here?
Okay.
Parna asks, what's your big prediction for this year, i.e. Trump's impeachment?
Jeez.
Man, Trump ain't getting impeached. It's tough when it comes to these things, because I don't really have, I don't have anything to predict. Like, it's such a wide, vast question. Like, predictions for movies, entertainment, personal life, people we know.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Oprah announcing that she's going to run for 2020?
That'll never happen.
She ain't going to run. Are you nuts?
No, it's weird. I hope things change. I really do, because we're in a point now where it's like there's a war with niceness. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I sort of mean all the kind of pop culture-y
things that you can and cannot say and what you can and cannot get away with anymore. And it's all coming from people that I used to identify with years ago when we were younger, mm-hmm. right? When you listened to rap or I listened to metal or whatever it was, anytime you heard people being like, oh my God, you can't say that. It was always the crazy religious right.
Yeah.
You know, it was always like the Jerry Falwells and these crazy Christian organizations that wanted to take all the cool stuff away from you. And now I just feel that all the people who want to take all the cool stuff away from us are people that I used to identify with.
Yeah, it's everybody.
It's weird.
Yeah.
We used to be the ones that were like, hell no, you can't take this.
Fight the system.
Fight the system. But now that system is the one that is like, you can't say that. And it's not only that you can't say that, but now they want to control what people hear. They yeah. don't want to control what people say. They want to tell Maury, you're not allowed to hear that. As opposed to saying, you're not allowed to say that.
So what's your prediction stuff?
I hope that flips.
I don't think so, man.
I hope that we come to our bloody senses.
I think it's
going to
get even worse, bro.
It's really wild. There is a niceness revolution that's happening right now, and it's odd. Like, nobody can take anything.
Oh.
You say one wrong thing, right, on social media, and you're canceled.
Yeah, completely.
Can we predict another Netflix hike in cost?
No, I don't think they'll do that within the year. It's already happening in this calendar year.
Yeah, so not again?
Okay. No.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I can predict that new Disney streaming service is going to change everything.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer right there.
Yeah, I can predict that by the summer when the Star Wars exhibit opens up at Disney, that it is going to be one of the busiest things ever in the history of the world.
They increased their fees to get into the park.
It's crazy now. It's
like for one single person or whatever, it's like $130.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Jeez, Maury, let me ask you this. How many times in a year do you visit Disney?
Well, never, but now I can't.
Yeah, exactly.
But I can understand.
I want to have a parent now tell me we're going to Disney.
No, but your reaction to $130 should not be that extreme.
Now.
Like, we're talking $130. Jesus.
My winter coat was less than that.
Let me get through some of these here. I'll start at the back. You start at the front, okay? I'm not reading a Golden Girls question because I know Maury only put that one in here for his benefit. Skip that. What's the one piece of advice? This is from Kayla Gonzalez.
Okay.
What's the one piece of advice you wish you never took?
Oh, boy. The one piece of advice you never wish you took. Gosh.
Never wish you took.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
It was 2004, summertime. This is when I was living in Kitchener, Ontario. Went to the beach up near Stratford, where Justin Bieber's from. Got day drunk with some friends.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, Mocha, you know what'd be fun? If you went to that tattoo parlor and got your nose pierced. And I went and I got my nose pierced. And within the week, it got infected. And it was gross. And I had to take the nose ring out and let it heal. But I had liked the way it looked. So once it healed, I ended up getting a nose ring. From like a legit place.
See, I wouldn't say that's advice. What would have been advice is if I was there, I would have been like, hey, Mocha, let me give you some advice. Don't go get your nose pierced. Yeah. That would have been advice.
I guess. So maybe it was like the worst suggestion
So this is the advice somebody gave you that you wish you
You never took.
So when my friend Wanda told me to get a credit card for $8,000 just because I should have one,
I should not have taken that. Right. What do you mean a credit card for $8,000, like with an $8,000 limit on it?
Yeah.
And how old were you at the time?
I would have been 19.
19. And how fast did you rack up $8,000 on it?
By the next Wednesday.
Oh my God.
Holy cow, really?
Well, because I immediately went and got fish tanks, fish, groceries.
Well, yeah, obviously you can get fish or your fish tank. You're not going to put your groceries in the fish tank.
And then, so you were 18 at the time.
Yeah.
And then how long did it take you to pay off that $8,000 on that credit card?
About 15 years.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
You're not the only one.
Fish died before I paid them off.
Yeah, you're not alone in that one.
My brother has one of those really awesome situations as well where he, not an advice thing, but just where Maury, what you just said that your you were still paying for the fish long after they had died. My brother was one of the first people when Sony came out with the flat screen TV.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing was still like 4 inches wide. Like it was flat screen. You could hang it on your wall, but it wasn't like what they are now. Mm-hmm. And it was the first generation Sony flat screen television. And at the time, my brother was like, I need that. It's the new technology. I need to be the first on board with this, all the other stuff. And he had that television for almost 10 years before he bought another one. And when he bought another one, he was still paying for the Sony.
No, are you serious?
Yeah, because it was like $7,000, $8,000 for a television. Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh my God. And how big was it?
And the, oh my, it was, I think 38 inches.
Yeah.
Or 40, really? 42 inches.
Yeah, oh my God.
42 inches. And the TV that he bought and replaced it with was a little bit more than what his monthly payments were when he first bought the other one.
Holy cow.
So, and bigger, probably.
And way bigger, but it was like $600 or $400,
wow,
whatever it was.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really wild, man. New tech, when you were like, if you just were wait, one of those suckers that got in on new tech, unless it was from the investment side and then we're best friends. But if you got in on new tech, all that stuff was so expensive. Yeah. All that stuff was so expensive.
Like when my dad bought a Laserdisc player.
Oh
my Laserdisc God. Lasted a week.
Yeah, really?
Like, and then nobody cared. It never took off. But my dad was like, look, we can watch Home Alone. And the thing was this, like the size of something that was big.
We used to have to go and... Great story, Maury. Yeah.
Like, you know what? You are an expert at describing things. You're holding your arms out in front of you saying it was as big as this big.
You are one of the best storytellers I've ever heard, man. It was as big as this big.
You know that phrase, cool story, bro? Tell it again. Yeah. I believe that is based on Damn It Maury, the first person to ever say it.
Yeah.
Probably said it to you, Maury. Here,
Mocha, let me read this one to you.
Okay.
I'll ask this one to you from Stephanie McRae. What TV series could you watch over and over and over and never get sick of?
Oh, easy. The Office.
Oh, good one. Okay. Yeah. I see. I don't have that.
I was going to say Friends or Seinfeld.
Okay.
No, The Office. Do you have one?
No, I don't. I don't. Nothing? I know. I'm pretty much done. Once I'm done with a show, like if something pops up in reruns, but I could never watch all of them. Like I could never go through a series and then watch a series again.
Oh, I meant like if it comes on a replay, like I'll watch Friends every day.
Sure. See, even that, I can do Friends.
This question that we got from Chad, I think somebody else had asked on a previous podcast. Did we ever answer this one, Maury?
Yeah, we did.
Which actor would best portray you in a movie? I'll stick with my original. I believe the original answer I gave was The Rock because we're just so similar.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm going to stick with that answer.
Okay.
Right?
Say, but I'm going to change Roz's. I'm going to say Jeff Bridges for you.
Jeff Bridges? He's 70.
I know, but you guys have similar hair.
He's 70. Maybe older than 70.
I know, but you have similar hair.
Oh, stop.
I would say
it.
Russell Brand for Roz.
No. Who did I say before? Oh, Will Arnett.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Will
Grows
Arnett.
Hair out a little bit.
Good one, good
one. Yeah, tall guy.
How about you, Maury?
Rick Moranis.
Yeah. Yeah,
you really
real.
Do look like Rick Moranis.
For real.
Yeah, doppelganger.
But Rick Moranis is like, he's old too. Jeez, what young guy would you, like, who's
Seth
around
Green.
Your age?
Seth Green.
Who's Seth Green?
He was, he's a robot, he's a voice on Robot Chicken, he's a voice on
that
Family
doesn't
Guy.
Doesn't help me at all. You give me, I said, who is he? What does he look like? And you told me, you gave me two shows that he's a voice on. So he looks, so he's the guy that looks
Green.
Like a chicken on Robot Chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, he was like,
Seth Green, who was he?
Oh, God. Honestly, the earliest thing I can remember Seth Green on was in the Scream movie.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
he with Nev Campbell. Yeah. He was like the hip hop guy, the white hip hopper.
Oh,
that's
what,
who he
wasn't
was?
He? Isn't he in Austin Powers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dr. Evil's kid.
Dr. Evil's son.
Yeah.
You think, yeah, you do kind of look like him now more, now that I think about it.
Yeah, yeah, I've been told that several times.
Scott Evil.
Did you used to get that a lot when you were younger?
When I was, yeah, everyone's like, oh, Seth Green.
You kind of do look like Seth Green a little
cool
bit.
Cool story, bro. I'll tell it again. Yeah.
And he was about as big as this is size.
Charmaine, after all your years together,
beautiful name.
What is the one most memorable moment on the show for each of you? After all your years together, we are entering our 10th year together. Jeez. On the Roz and Mocha Show. That's a long time. Memories, big time memories.
What's the one most memorable moment?
Do you have one? Any of you guys?
I do, but I'm worried I'm going to steal it from you.
Go ahead.
We were handed, Roz and I were handed a piece of paper. And we turned it over, and it was an ultrasound. And it's when Mocha told us that Jenna was pregnant with Cruz. That was one of my favorite moments.
That was actually like, going to so awesome. Say that's my most memorable.
Yeah.
Really?
It was November 21st, 2016. And I'll never forget because I was, when we found out that Jenna was pregnant, the first thing, one of the first things that came to my mind was, I cannot wait to tell Roz and David Mori. And we found out like early before the doctor, because you know, you do the test and then you got to wait and then make sure you do the test with the doctor. And then they find out that you're actually pregnant. And then you do some more tests to make sure everything's okay. And before you can like go and tell people.
Yeah.
But from the moment she ran out of the bathroom at our house screaming, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I was like, I can't wait to tell the guys.
Yeah, that's really wild. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what, if I've like the most memorable, like where if I think of the show, like what's the one thing that I will always sort of remember?
When you used my belly as a drum?
No.
Oh, when we had the all-male dance party.
No, that was fun though.
Right?
My God, that was fun.
All-male dance party and all the dudes that came in here were in Speedos.
Oh, you know what I do remember? I'll tell you this. Because it's less to do about the show and more just the show in general and why I love working here because of the people. And that was, my kid was about to start kindergarten and I had said that I wished that I could walk her to kindergarten because I knew that I was never going to get that chance for the first day of school to walk my kid to kindergarten. And we were here doing this show. I was fully not going to leave. Mm-hmm. And you convinced me to bail early on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And then whip down, go home in a cab and meet Catherine and Roxy so I could walk her to kindergarten.
Of course.
So I think that, like, as far as the show goes, which is, you know, it wasn't the best thing for the show. Like, I wasn't here. I left. But it was you convincing me to leave and go and walk Roxy to kindergarten.
That's one moment that you'll never get back.
Yeah. And so I think that it's a moment like that. Like, is that my most memorable? Maybe, maybe not. But is that one that really, really sticks out when I think about why I love this show? Yeah, that's one of the reasons. That's one of the things that sticks out for me.
We're not answering your Golden Girls question, Maury. Stop looking at me and pointing at the paper like that.
Oh, here. Have you ever seen your life flash before your eyes in a scary moment?
Oh, my God. All the time when I'm driving too fast on the highway in the winter and my car starts sliding. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Jeez, Maury.
I think when the roof caved in when I was a little kid and I was playing Lego and Lego saved my life.
Right.
I truly believe my life flashed before my eyes. Yeah.
How old were you then?
You can't say something like Lego saved your life without explaining how Lego saved your life.
I was playing Lego. And I had to reach down and pick up a piece on the floor.
Yeah.
And as I was doing that, the entire roof of our apartment caved in and a piece of drywall sliced through the coffee table that I was playing on at the time. Had I have not reached for that piece of Lego, who knows where I'd be today.
Okay, when you're telling this story, now say.
Lego saved my life.
Right.
Wait, but how old were you?
I was 10 years old.
Oh, yeah. So you saw your entire 10-year existence flash in front of your eyes.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Wow. How about you, Ross? You ever have those moments?
Yeah, I was younger. I mean, I've had them at a couple. I mean, when I used to ride a motorcycle all the time.
Yeah.
And that's when I stopped riding a motorcycle. I was, I don't even know, late public school, maybe, grade 5. And when we grew up in Acton, we had a lake called Fairy Lake. Don't laugh, Maury. See? You know what I mean?
You can't have a conversation like an adult, huh? Ever.
And I was only allowed to go swimming in the lake when there was a lifeguard on duty. Mm-hmm. But I used to like hanging out with older kids. And there was no lifeguard one day. And somehow they dragged a picnic table into the lake. And the picnic table was floating.
Yeah.
And they were climbing up on the picnic table and jumping off into the lake. And then climbing up onto the picnic table and jumping in the lake. And I wanted to like hang out with older kids and do that. And I climbed up on the top of the picnic table.
Uh-oh.
And I slipped off and fell backwards off the picnic table. And as I was dropping feet first into the water, my face grazed the side of the top of the picnic table.
Yeah.
And there was a nail sticking out of it.
Oh my God.
And the nail went in my mouth and it went through my lip and was in my nose. And I was hanging in the water, by a nail through my mouth.
Oh my God,
and
dude.
I couldn't move. And the problem was my mouth, where the nail was sitting right on the top of the water. So my mouth was in the water.
Oh my God, dude, that's so disgusting.
And I couldn't move.
Holy cow.
And everybody else at that time was on the other side of the picnic table and had jumped into the water and were swimming. And I could see my eyes over the picnic table, all of them playing in the water and having a great time. And nobody could see me. My eyes were outside of the water, but my nose and my mouth were in the water.
Oh my God.
And I couldn't move. So I was just like, I started to panic. And then somebody realized what was going on, and I was waving my arms, and then they came and they lifted up my head and pulled me off the nail. And then I went to the doctor.
The nail had to go back through.
It had to go back
through. Oh my God, that's so gross.
Back through.
Oh,
and
I
then
couldn't.
Went to the doctor, like one stitch, and I was home, and my mom didn't really question anything. I got hurt at the park, went to the doctor, got a stitch.
But wasn't it a rusty nail?
What's that?
Wasn't it rusty?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but so my life flashed before my eyes at that point.
Oh my God, dude, that's so gross.
In what lake?
Fairy Lake.
Okay, we'll end on this one. Yeah. Very fun, from Dion. If you guys were a musical trio, what kind of music would you perform?
Oh.
Would you be a rock band, a hip-hop group, or a boy band? And what would your roles be, i.e., the bad boy, the quiet one, the cute one?
We had a band name once when we did barbershop quartetting.
Right. What do we call it?
We were the Whistle Wetters.
Also, we can't be a quartet if there's only three of us.
Well, that's not my problem. They're called a quartet.
Right, the Whistle Wetters. That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, the Whistle Wetters.
Yeah. Can't say that anymore.
I know.
What would we play? I think we would all have to, we would have to pick a genre that we all agreed on, right? Like
folk music?
No, I don't know anything about folk. You kind of have to do something that you know, right? And I would say, like, because we listen daily to so much pop music on the show, I think it would have to be, we'd have to be a pop band.
But like a three-man pop band?
Yeah.
Like Hanson?
Yes. Yeah.
And what would the roles be?
You're so, the bad one.
The bad one.
Yeah, you're like the one
bad
that gets
boy,
in
not the
time.
Bad one.
What instrument would you play? Probably guitar, right?
Oh, are we playing instruments or are we just singing?
Oh, I assume we have to play instruments.
Oh,
yeah, let's go down that road. Let's say that we have to sing, but we also have to play an instrument.
Okay. Yeah, like guitar or something like that.
What would you play, Mark?
Drums. I've always wanted to play the drums. It's been a lifelong dream. I love drums.
If anyone's going to be the drummer, it's going to be me. I play drums.
Fine. So, then what am I, like triangle?
What can you play? Anything?
Well, okay, so why don't I do
No, you have to play
bass.
Something that you know. No, but do you know how to play bass?
I thought it was just hypothetic.
No.
Yeah.
Play something. What do you play?
Do you play anything? Did you
recorder.
Play anything?
Okay. So the Whistle Wetters, which... Yeah. So, what is it? Whistle Wetters.
Whistle Wetters.
The Whistle Wetters.
It's Roz, myself, Mocha, and Dammit Maury. Roz on guitar, me on drums, and Maury on the recorder.
All singing.
And Roz is the bad
that
one.
That would be the worst.
What would you be, Maury?
I'm the cute one.
Okay.
I'm the one that gets all the ladies.
You're the cute one.
Yeah.
Right. Right. All right, there you go. Thank you so much, everybody. It was a hell of a week. We'll do it again next time.
Heck yeah. Go and make sure you rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends the Roz and Mocha Show podcast. We love ya.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com
or on the KISS 92.5 app.